Ton 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 ton.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Did you get stoned today, Sam?
I get stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
Let's go smoke some pot. Let's go smoke some pot. Let's go smoke some pot. Let's go smoke some pot.
Say, man, you got a joint?
No, not on me, man.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
My girlfriend thinks I smoke too much pot. I, on the other hand, think I don't smoke enough pot. Because if I did, I'd be finished. And I'm not.
Bong!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
1 in 3 gay males may have genital anal warts.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
I got me a monkey.
Just like the other one.
Doc, it's a masterpiece.
This one seems to be about to quit.
When will this guy shut up?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, Dick.
No, thank you. I take it back. Like my man.
Roll another one.
Open wide for Chunky.
Just like the other one.
That's a lot of masturbation.
This one seems to be about 10 minutes.
Ever tried a Cleveland steamer? It's awesome.
I don't have another cent.
Oh, they'll love this downtown, folks.
Okay, you're on my list.
Just pass it around.
Yeah, screw you.
But don't bother to join my friend.
Screw him.
I just pass it on down.
So far, thanks to the pain pills, the news may be incoherent, but I feel fine.
And now,
we're going to celebrate with this joint. Bless you, Jesus. God created pot for us to smoke.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, that was a masterpiece right there. The Doc Edition, the Armenian
the
comedian.
Doc mix, yeah.
Nicely
I enjoyed that
done.
Very much, yes.
God's given us weeds to smoke. I love that guy. We should have him on every day.
No.
Nope. Hey, we are going to take your calls, by the way, for the Friday edition of Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. This could be your last chance to get on the air with us and get a free Snuggie. So give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. See the game last night, the 6 overtime college basketball game?
No. 6 overtimes?
Is that a record? Very often, does it?
No. Is that a record?
It's not, actually. There was a 7 overtime NCAA tournament game in 1981, but last night was Syracuse and UConn. It ended up being 3 hours and 46 minutes long.
Wow. How did everyone not foul out by that point?
It's unbelievable because it ended on what looked like an unbelievable, you know, three-pointer to win the game that was then ruled after the buzzer. So then they went into overtime, and I'm sure nobody expected it would be overtime, wow. Overtime. Let's see. It was I got it here somewhere. It was, imagine the exhaustion. You know how you feel after one basketball game?
Yeah, of course.
Game? Imagine the exhaustion after 3.5 hours of it. It ended at 1:20 in the morning. Ended at 71 in regulation. First overtime ended at 81. Second, 87. Third, 98. Fourth, 104. Fifth, 110.
Awesome.
And then Syracuse ended up winning. But just unbelievable.
That is that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that. They're going to have to go to a shootout like hockey has. They're going to have to actually play a game of horse or something if if they can't get a winner.
And I don't care how much your coach says how proud of you he is for surviving a game like that and how you never quit and you gave it your all. If you're on the losing end of that game, you still feel like crap.
Oh, of course.
Because now you've played 3.5 hours of basketball and you still lost.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it just counts as an L. You know, it doesn't matter how close it is or how long the game took. It still takes an L.
You had like 17 hours to make more baskets. So exactly. If you can't do that, I guess that's that's great. I love that about college basketball.
Well, it's getting into that time of year where the games are getting very exciting.
Next week.
Yeah.
March Madness. Final Four starts.
Oh, you guys are so happy.
Yes, we are. Let's take your phone calls now. Any topic, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, by now you'd know if you listen to this program why you need a Snuggie so that you don't die getting trapped underneath a blanket like you do. The Snuggie, by the way, is made with super soft, thick, luxurious fleece with roomy, oversized sleeves to let you do what you want while still being totally wrapped in warmth. That's what you get at 1-800-520-1067.
How did this all happen? How have we been spending most of this year talking about a Snuggie?
Because it's the hottest product in America today.
I blame Garmin.
Well, he's right. By the way, I was in an As Seen on TV store yesterday.
Yeah.
They're selling the Snuggie for like $24.
Really?
I couldn't believe it because at Target it's like $14 or something like that. And on our show it's free. So
yeah.
So this is a better deal.
Speaking of which, let's go to Jason in Victorville. Good morning, Jason.
What it do, nephew?
you called yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, okay.
And I was calling to apologize. I acted like I was better than the Snuggie blanket.
You did. You said you did. Oh, by the way, I don't want your stupid Snuggie, you said, I think.
Yep.
I didn't say stupid.
I think you said stupid.
You said stupid in your voice, I'll tell you that, even if you didn't say it with your mouth.
All right, maybe true. But, my upstanding policy was turn the heat up and get naked, but apparently my wife, she doesn't share the same policy.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, so she was a little upset with me yesterday when I told her that I didn't claim my Snuggie.
Because, you know what? Sometimes a blanket can slip and slide, and then you can also, when you want to get the remote or something, you can get your hands trapped underneath it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yes.
So you're begging us?
I would like to suggest, Jason, that we don't want to give you a Snuggie.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, huh? Yeah. I don't blame you. I do the same thing to me. I understand.
So you're a loser basically twice in a row then.
Yeah,
yesterday you were a loser because yesterday you disappointed your wife. Today you disappointed yourself.
Today I guess I'm the tool bag.
Just hang up on yourself, dude. Hang up for the call. Just let yourself go.
Let's talk to Amber in Fountain Valley, also calling about the Snuggie on line 5. It is funny. Rarely are the What It Do calls actually about the prize, but how can it not be when it's a snug? Hey, Amber.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
So I bought a Snuggie, much to the dismay of all of my roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you're a dork.
Yes.
And I'm so sure, blah, blah, blah. There's 6 of us. Everyone got a Snuggie in the house.
Oh, so they started out mocking you, and then they realized that they wanted what you had.
They realized that I was comfy and warm and not trapped on the couch by an afghan.
Exactly.
If I have to hear another 911 call from somebody trapped under a blanket...
Yes.
It's just like being trapped under ice. Like if you're in a pond
and it
freezes over and you can't get out. It's the exact same feeling when you're on that couch under a blanket. By the way, Kevin, you know exactly where Amber's coming from because remember when you used to mock the fanny pack and then you tried one and you said, oh my God, these fanny packs are awesome.
I don't remember that at all, no.
He's blocked
there
that
wasn't time.
That deserves mocking.
It does. There's no question about that. It had it happen, but I'm just saying. You're right.
All right, let's try Daniel in Beaumont. I haven't heard about this, and it sounds like there's maybe some good news on the horizon. Hey, Dan, you're on the air. What'd it do?
Hey, what up, party people?
What's up?
Last night, Channel 9 News, they were talking about legalizing sports gambling. They were actually at the City of Commerce Casino interviewing people about legalizing it. I guess the state of Delaware, in the process of going ahead and doing it, and if they do it, they said they're going to generate $100 to $200 million per year in revenue. So they said if they do it, obviously California would generate so much more
and
that it's a no-brainer.
It
needs it more.
Yeah, desperately.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that gambling is illegal. It's ridiculous. There's no reason for that to be the case at all.
You can gamble on everything and anything, you know, cards, stinking horses, anything except, you know, sports.
That's one of those laws that doesn't even put a dent in people's behavior. They just,
that's true.
Everyone gambles anyway. They might as well just, you know, rake in some money on
it. Like prohibition with alcohol. Nobody stopped drinking.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's also hard to believe in 2009, getting deep into the 21st century, that it's a morals thing at this point. I mean, I understand 150 years ago when people said, oh, gambling is going to be the ruin of man. You can't allow it because it's evil and God hates it. But there's nobody really standing up and saying that anymore. But for some reason, politicians don't seem to want to take that on and be the guy who suggested now it's time.
Yeah. Well, I hope that happens. I hope that comes to fruition. Let's go to Abraham in Monrovia. Good morning, Abraham.
Good morning. I just wanted to let Psycho Mike and Omar know that they have one more person for their Poncho Patrol.
Oh, you want to join the Poncho Patrol?
Yeah. Poncho Patrol.
All right.
You already have a poncho?
Yes, I do.
Oh, already has one.
Sweet.
Nice.
Mike, what can you tell us about the Poncho Patrol making its debut? Is it still happening tonight or no?
No, we are not. Well, you know, I don't want to give too much away, Bean. You know, the element of surprise was going to be a huge factor in our attack. Sure. So let's keep
And when you say attack, you're talking about the Snuggy pub crawl.
The Snuggy pub crawl and these people who are putting on Snuggies to go around from bar to bar.
Yeah.
The Poncho Patrol need to show up and let them know who's still boss on the streets. Abraham, are you of Hispanic descent?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
You have to be?
Well, you don't have to be, but you know, Omar and I enjoy that.
Okay.
Wear a poncho better. It's just
exactly.
A fact.
I mean, it just looks weird if, maybe a Japanese guy or a Jew is going to come in the poncho.
Yeah.
What are your dimensions, Abraham? You a big man?
No, I'm not.
Okay, but are you wiry? You got grit?
Yeah, I'm pretty.
You're not looking for a sex partner.
But Kevin,
you never quit.
You got to understand, when you're in the trenches, you're in the foxhole, you want to make sure you got a real man next to you.
But Mike, what does it matter what his physique is? It's not like you're not bringing nunchucks and you're going to beat the guys up.
That's where you're wrong.
Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen.
Isn't it just intimidation? Isn't that all you're trying to do?
I don't know. I ordered about 35 grenades yesterday, and if those have to be put to use, those have to be put to use.
These guys have been training like crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, Psycho Mike told us about his last weekend. He's, I'm doing it for charity. That's training for the Poncho Patrol. I mean, they're getting ready.
They got to be ready for whatever comes out of it.
That's right.
We're pretty look, to us, this is the Alamo, and we're ready to take the stand.
So you are or are not going to San Diego tonight, or are you going to wait until the pub crawl comes to L.A.?
We're
going to
try and wait till the pub crawl comes to L.A. But okay. Abraham, email me or let Miss Cleo get your information. You want to join the Poncho Patrol? I don't see any problem.
Well, he can try out.
Yeah. There is
a tryout.
Yeah.
Evaluation. All right. Yeah, that's
fine. All right.
All right.
Okay. All right, Abraham. Have fun, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday the 13th of March. Bow, bow.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that. I don't think that way.
This is it, by the way.
Yes, it is.
I'd just like to say that.
I know we're going to talk, I think we're talking to Michael today about, I don't know if I was in a haze when I heard this on the radio last night. It was very late. I was very half asleep. But I swear I think I heard that now there are 50 concerts.
No, that's not true.
No, because he said this is it.
50. Mm-hmm. I know he said this is it. Yeah. And then yesterday Ralph announced that they're
you were groggy.
10 to 25.
Possible.
And now I think there may be 50. So it could be turning into the longest farewell tour ever.
500 is what I hear.
Maybe.
Proposals gone wrong on today's Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if you saw this story, but a dude tried to propose to his girlfriend in a Wendy's, and his brilliant idea was to put the engagement ring in the Frosty, which is their chocolate shake.
Oh, good.
Very, very popular to hide a ring in food.
I don't know.
Wanting to put rings in food.
I don't know.
They want it to be a surprise, I guess. It's the last place you expect to find it, maybe?
So she drank it. And then they had to wait for 3 days for, you know, things to take place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
And then do you really want to put that ring on your finger?
I'm going to go no.
Chocolate ring. I drink your milkshake.
Trying to find that ring is not a romantic thing.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Is it? I drink your milkshake.
We also have Doto on the program today.
Do we really?
Very excited about
that. He said he would. He said he'd come on. And the last exchange I had with him, as I said, send me the phone number where you're going to be at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And I have not yet heard back from him. But I still got my fingers crossed that it'll happen because we do need an update because apparently he has a woman 5657, Kevin and Bean. So.
Fantastic. And she's a doctor? Is that what I hear?
That's what
really?
That's what he says.
I drink your milkshake.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Wow. And we also have Ralph's movie beat because it's Friday morning, and we've got your tickets to see Depeche Mode at the Hollywood Bowl and when they play Jimmy Kimmel on Hollywood Boulevard.
Excellent.
So all that's coming up. Ralph Showbiz Beat is next.
106.7.
Hey! I wasn't ready for that.
Well,
I
you were not. I'm so not a raper.
Kevin Abid Show, the world famous K-Rock at 5:51.
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
Remember when Michael Jackson said, this is it?
Yeah, he said it like...
Before, he said, this is it.
A bunch of times.
He said that a lot
of
times.
Shows in London.
Yeah.
He had 10 shows in London. He said, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. But
he was pretty, pretty clear about that.
But seriously, this is it.
Wasn't a lot of room for interpretation that he meant this was it.
You want me to play the clip? Okay, here you go.
These will be my final show performances in London.
These 10 shows.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
I'll be
performing.
These 10 what?
No, keep going.
Okay. The songs my fans want to hear.
Right. These 10 shows are it.
This is it. This is really it. This
Got
is
it.
The final.
Okay.
This is
so this 10.
The final curtain call.
This is it. The
this
final.
Is it. And when I say this is it,
this
it
is
really
it?
Means this is
this
it.
This is it.
Okay.
This is it. Well, then he added another 12 shows 2 days ago.
So that wasn't.
That wasn't really it.
That wasn't it.
But then that was it. That was it.
Sure, then.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Until yesterday when he brought the total of shows to 50.
What?
That's true?
All in London?
All in London, all at the O2 Arena.
Are you kidding?
Michael will be performing starting in July all the way through January 2010.
Really?
Is
so they're
he?
Not consecutive nights, but they're...
He kicks off on July 8th and then runs, till February 12th, 2010 will be the entire engagement of 50 shows at the O2 Arena in London, England.
Has he just decided not to tour? Like, he's just going to do the whole tour there, and then that'll be it?
I think he's setting himself up in a Vegas-type gig where he's just trying to make an assload of money.
But this is a 20,000-seat arena.
That's what I'm saying.
Who plays 50 nights?
This is it. This is it.
Is this it?
This is it.
This is it.
This is it. 50. You only get 50 chances to be one of 20,000 people to see Michael Jackson. Ooh. Here's a hard ticket to get.
Wow.
But he has such a fan base around the world that now that people know he's going to be there for 6 months or 7 months or whatever it is, people will fly to London to see the show.
Absolutely.
I'm sure they will.
He's going to have no trouble selling these dates out, I'm telling you. It's nuts.
He'll sell them all?
Yeah. You know why he's genius? Because he's doing it in Europe, where he is still a much bigger star than he is here in the States.
Good point.
There's no way he could do 50 dates at Madison Square Garden, which just wouldn't happen.
That's true.
But in London, he can draw from all of the UK, all of Europe. It's a hub. You know, people can get to London easily from all over the world, including, the Middle East and Asia. So, smart marketing on his part.
And he's keeping the price reasonable on the tickets, too. He's not doing the Madonna $300
a
ticket type thing.
Which is nuts.
$1?
Yeah.
How's he going to make money?
Volume. Stacks them deep and sells them cheap. That's what I'm telling you.
Here's what I don't get, Ralph. I've seen photos of Michael Jackson since that press conference where he's back in the pajamas and the surgical mask, and he looks frail and weak, and he's going to doctors and everything. Is he physically, does he have the stamina to do 50 concerts?
If they're real short concerts.
I don't think he's going to be able to do that. I would be willing to bet that he'll have to cancel some of them.
Well, if he's doing 50 dates over 6 months, obviously he's not doing them consecutively.
Even so, I mean, he hasn't performed since, 2001 or something?
He can't walk from his car to the mall anymore. You know? I mean, I just can't. I guess we'll wait and see.
It's going to be like that Blaine guy, the magician. David Blaine, one of the endurance tests. It's going to be inside of a block of ice for 72 hours. We'll see if he makes it or not.
This will be it. This is
but
it.
This is
when
it.
I say this is it, this it is really it. Means this is it.
But this is it.
This is it. I mean, this is really it.
Is this
this
it?
Is the final... This is
it.
The final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Okay.
Just want to make sure this is it.
So now 50 is it.
Till it's 100 concerts next week. Then that'll be it. Speaking of concerts, Madonna made a surprise appearance. She dropped by the Nassau Coliseum Wednesday night to catch Britney Spears live in concert. Bystanders tell Us Weekly magazine that Madonna made a point of walking up the main stairs to her private suite so that all the fans in the building could see her arrive. And apparently the crowd went nuts for her, and she gave a little smirk as she entered her private suite. I guess proving to Britney that she's still
the queen?
The queen,
yeah.
Congratulations to dog whisperer Caesar Milan.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Caesar became a United States citizen.
How about that?
in Montebello, California. He was sworn in a ceremony that was attended by his wife and two sons, and 408 dogs all showed up to be there. His wife and two sons are already citizens, I guess, because his wife is a citizen. But Caesar finally getting his
how about that?
His citizenship. So congratulations. And nice to know that an illegal alien can make all that kind of money. It's just good to know. He could have his own TV series.
That is true.
There, so how about some kind of rule? Got to be a citizen before you get a series. How about that?
Too much competition, Ralph?
Yeah, come on. Natural-born Americans here can't get their own TV series. What the hell?
Caesar, how about a little love for Philadelphia, man? Yeah. Come on.
How long have you been trying to be a citizen?
I just started this idea to become a citizen very recently because here in America you pamper your dogs way too much. You don't treat them like your slave, which is what you should do.
And say,
what was that?
You need to say,
what? It's so hard to have a conversation with him.
Whoever swore him in should have done that. That would have been awesome.
I, Caesar Milan. And Marvel Studios has given the geeks of the world a little present. They announced yesterday that in the summer of 2011, they will be releasing three massive comic book movies.
What have they not done yet?
Spider-Man 4 will be released that summer, as will Thor.
Yes!
Thor.
Familiar with the Norse god of... the god of thunder, Thor.
I've heard of, but I don't know the
big dude. Carries a giant hammer, has a winged helmet, flowing blonde hair, ripped.
I'm in,
shredded, and Captain America, all coming out in 2011.
Wow. That seems bad to put them all so close together, doesn't it?
It will be the summer of the superhero, without a doubt. And then the following summer, in 2012, the Avengers, featuring Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and Hulk, all teaming up. Will be released that summer. So, somewhere, someplace, Roland has a chubby.
Ralph, is it true that Captain America, not really a superhero, just a really dope soldier? Or is he...
He's a soldier who's been doped.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Captain America was given a super serum back in the 40s to fight Hitler's Nazis.
So awesome.
He was actually a scrawny little dude, Psycho Mike. Scrawny little 4F dude who couldn't get in the...
Can't say that.
Kevin said it.
Is that what you were going for, Kevin? Is that what you were hoping?
Yep. This is it. This is it. This is it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Adam Clayton of U2 is 49 years old today. U2, number one CD in America this week. Congratulations to those guys. Actor William H. Macy. He's one of those actors I just wish was in every movie and TV series made so I could watch him all the time.
He's always good. Even if the movie sucks, he's good.
Freaking brilliant. Yeah. You ever see The Cooler? That little independent film that he starred in about a guy in Vegas who was employed just to ruin other people because every time he got to a table, everyone started losing? Great film. 59 years old today. Actress Dana Delaney, most recently seen as one of the Desperate Housewives. She's 53 years old today. Common turns 37. Danny Masterson. From That 70s Show turns 33 years old today. And actor Emil Hirsch, who was so good in Milk and not so much in Speed Racer. But you can't really blame that one on him. He is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
In case you're wondering what K-Rock has up its sleeve this weekend, how about joining K-Rock Striker for spring break? Apparently next Friday he's going to be broadcasting from that, what is it? I guess the Sun Deck where we've been out there before, up there at Bear Mountain. He's going to have a live music show for free with Vampire Weekend in Igloo and Hartley. And we're going to be giving away free lift tickets for that starting today at noon and all weekend long on K-Rock. But you don't have to win the lift tickets in order to go up there and enjoy the free music, too. So it's a pretty good deal.
I, as some of you may know, have trouble sleeping. I have a real hard time sleeping. So, and I brought it in occasionally because when you're up for, almost a week, you start really going crazy. And my mind is not the sharpest with sleep. So when I don't get sleep, it really hurts.
Yeah.
So we've had people call in and say, what works for you? They call in, they say Ambien, they say herbs, they say milk, they say exercise. They've given us 100 different suggestions.
You tried them all,
Tried them all, and some of them help a little, but for the most part, still have trouble sleeping. So I was up in the middle of the night a couple nights ago, and I just decided to go online, go to krock.com, and I started listening to some of the stuff that's up there, and I heard this.
Number four. Okay. Yes, and your point is...
Mike, what are you doing?
It was out of face.
Okay, but you have to stop it and actually...
I thought putting him on it would help. It, it,
Sorry.
Okay, sorry. So I heard this.
We had quite a discussion on the Kevin and Bean show. I guess it was on the 3rd, so that would have been Monday, when we discussed that it was square root day, meaning that the number in the day and the number in the date were both the square root of the number in the year. 339 was the date.
So now I'm starting to get a little sleepy. I got to be honest. I'm thinking, I don't know, I should probably go back and lay down because I'm getting sleepy now. This is great news.
And there are, believe it or not, lots of math geeks who get excited by stuff like that. Also, lots of number freaks, lots of OCD people. I'm not any of those, right, but I still thought it was worth a mention. And I was roundly mocked for bringing it up that it was square root day.
A little tireder. I'm thinking, wow, I might just have to sleep right here in this chair.
And then, of course, once you start talking about square root day, then you start talking about Pi Day, which is coming up on March 14th because,
that's tomorrow.
Well, the date of that is 314, which are the first three numbers of the mathematical formula known as Pi. I want to thank the K-Rock listener. I'm sorry I don't have his name in front of me, who sent me a link to a website, which is a list of all of the people at the top of the world record for memorizing pi to the most decimal places.
Now, I'm realizing I'm not going to be able to stand up and walk today. At this point, I'm too drowsy, probably even to stand up.
It's like you've been hit with a tranquilizer.
Exactly.
It's like animal control is bringing you down. I mean, we discussed on the air that when I was in high school, I and a lot of my friends knew pi to about 100 places, which is not at all exceptional. It was fairly easy to do. Some of the people on this list, well, I'll give you a couple of names.
And then it all started going blurry.
This is how you're hearing it? This is what it sounds like to you in your head?
Yeah, now my head is on the keyboard. It's just playing in the background. I can't really make out what it is.
After all these years of you guys telling me to shut up and put it in the podcast, I finally do, and now we find out it's got benefits. It's a sleep aid.
You should be about sleep by now.
So I'm asleep for, I checked at the clock. I kind of, you know, jerked myself back up and I looked at the clock and it was about 2 hours later.
Nice.
Oh, that's a nice little nap. Did you use any special technique to memorize all these digits?
Now, I think what's happening here, because I missed 2 hours of it, but I think what's happening here is Bean is reading an interview with a guy who memorized a bunch of digits for pi.
Uh-huh.
I think.
He's reading
from the newspaper.
Like the transcripts
yes.
or whatever?
Yes, it is based on many traditional techniques of memorizing.
Oh, no, I'm going right back out. Oh, no.
So you woke up, podcast is still going on, you went right back to sleep.
I'm getting sleepy now.
Didn't the guy memorize it to like 67,000 places or something like that?
You're not allowed to ask as if you don't know.
I don't remember. I don't remember what it was, but it was something ridiculous.
Well, how's Kevin going to remember? He was asleep.
So I wake
up. Certainly noteworthy.
The next morning, and it's now 7 hours later. And Bean's podcast still going on.
So that's a world record that I don't think very many people will be able to.
I can't sleep anymore. Gone. Out cold.
Oh, man.
48 hours later.
All right. Thing number two. And this will be...
How can he only be on thing number two? It's been two full days. That was all thing one? How is that possible? That's a long thing one is what I'm saying.
That's all right. Thing number two.
And this will be it for today.
So you're saying my Boom. Podcast... is useful.
Yes. I've never been more well-rested, and I thank you. So I have this on my iPod now.
Anytime you're on a plane or something like that, you just need to take a nap. So The Rock in that, what is it, The Return to Witch Mountain? Escape
yes.
from Witch Mountain?
Mm-hmm.
Witch Mountain Returns?
Don't know.
New movie opening up today. Ralph will have a review of that and all the other new films in theaters with the Showbiz Beat later on today because it is Friday. We were talking about Michael Jackson a few minutes ago, and I don't know what's going on with this dude, but how is he going to do 45 concerts starting in July?
I don't know.
How is he going to do that?
I don't think it's possible, but after the first 10, we made a point of playing this tape.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it. This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final. This is... the final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it really means this is it.
So apparently we misinterpreted, I guess, when we heard that. So we're going to get the very latest, get the update from Michael Jackson himself. He joins us on the phone on the Kevin DeBean Show on the World Famous K-Rock right now. Hey, Mike.
It's Race to Witch Mountain.
Race.
Race to
Is that
Witch
what it is?
Mountain. Yes. Oh,
disturbing that you know that.
You know that. How about that?
I've got tickets at theaters all over the state.
Oh. Mm. Are you taking
I'll be there
your,
in the
your
dark when the kids come in to see the movie.
Are you
if they want some popcorn.
Taking any of your children dust. With you, or do you leave? Okay.
Or
wow.
Some Twizzlers.
You don't bring sand to the beach, Bean.
I guess that's true. Why bring your own kids?
Came out!
All right, Michael.
Yes.
After you announced the first 10 concerts,
yes.
You said this is it.
This is it.
Right.
This is it, and by this is it, I mean this is the last chance. It's the final curtain call.
Right.
The last chance you get to see me with all my hits in London. This
right.
is it.
The final 10 shows.
This is it.
So we heard that, and we thought, what?
Except for the others.
What?
Nothing, okay, you didn't say that at the press conference.
I
so
did,
you said,
listen carefully. I say, this is it, except for the other ones.
We've heard the tape a bunch of times, Michael, but
play
you led people...
Play it backwards.
You can't play it backwards.
You led people to believe that these 10 shows were it, and you were going to sell a lot of tickets because of that, and then you went, oh, guess what? All those people who ran out and bought tickets, guess what? Now I'm adding more shows.
We need to define what this is.
Okay, well, it seemed like those first 10 shows.
This, when I said this is it, I meant this upcoming... series of shows is it.
But
and I didn't put a quantifiable.
You did. You said
on
these 10 shows. Well, I'm announcing 10 shows
it,
and
this is
it.
But this is not that.
This is the 10 shows.
The 10 shows was that. This is this.
I'm confused.
Understand?
No.
Good.
So that isn't this?
No.
Just
no,
this.
This is this.
Okay.
That is that. This is not something else. This is this.
Did you mean is, though, or did you mean will be? This will be
it. It. And we have
this
to define it.
Okay.
As well.
What is it?
This.
Wait, this is it?
Yes.
Who's
or
laughing?
That is it.
Who's laughing in the background?
Omar Jackson.
Oh, really? You have a brother named Omar?
One of the little known Jacksons, yes. He was the one we kept in a locked closet for a long time.
Oh, no.
He's got three arms.
Oh.
So now you've made an announcement that there are up to 45 shows.
45, 50, whatever.
50.
Whatever it takes.
55, whatever. Over the next 6 months, you're going to perform pretty much every day.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be performing at O2.
Uh-huh.
Also in the tube stations where the subway runs. I'll be down there with a guitar busking.
Okay. I doubt that.
I will. I will be performing by Big Ben for tourists.
Okay.
Along the Thames.
All right.
And I will also be selling fish and chips out of a van.
Okay. But wow. Now all of that is it?
That is it.
That's it.
No, I'm sorry. This is it. That is something else.
That's not
that
it.
That is not it. That is not it, but this is it.
Okay.
Michael, is it that you love your fans and want to give them the opportunity to see you in person one more time, or are you so broke that you're being forced to work?
No, that's ridiculous. See, the press spreads all these lies about me being broke.
Well, you lost your home.
You lost Neverland.
I chose to leave Neverland.
So did
I. Like Peter Pan did at the end of the movie. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't.
No.
But I know. It has nothing to do with money.
You had a garage sale?
I love my fans, and I just want to spend as much time with them as they can possibly afford.
That sounds about right. All right. So before we go, Michael, we just want to make sure there's no misunderstanding this time. We don't want to hear
this
anything.
This is it.
There aren't going to be any more shows. 45, that's it.
I can't promise that, really. No. But this is it.
Well, what does that mean then?
Nothing.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right.
Just talking.
All right. At least he's honest.
Thank you, Mike. 106.7 K-Rock is Kate. We should have said, hey, that one needs
I was wondering.
Has Hayes in it?
Sorry.
That's the perfect song. Where were you?
They say hey on it.
I know.
Wow. I've been looking forward to that moment for the last month.
And then forgot it. Alice in Chains, also Coldplay, Linkin Park, coming up on the World Famous K-Rock. It is Friday morning, 6:33. By the way, I get a lot of emails, Kevin. I know you'll hate these people, but I want to mention today is the Friday the 13th. Of course, this is the second month in a row we've had a Friday the 13th, which doesn't happen very often. And this is one of the rare years where there are three Friday the 13ths. We got another one coming up in November. So you're afraid of Friday the 13th, bad year for you, 2009 is.
Wow. Really, Bean?
Should I put it on my podcast so Kevin can get a good night's sleep tonight?
Please, that'll help me sleep. We did a sportscaster in the Internet Roundup that people seem to be responding to quite well. This is a dude that just shouts out movie lines after he says he shoots, he scores in the NHL.
Love him.
Here's the announcer and then the call.
McLean to the left side of Frolik. Top the faceoff circle. Fires a try. Shoots. He scores! Get off my lawn!
Defense looks for and he scores! You know if there's any rooms at the Marriott available.
Oh! Run, Forrest! Run!
That guy put two of our favorite things together.
That's awesome.
By the way, I didn't see it last night. I can't wait. I taped it. The Hoff was on Jimmy Kimmel shows last night.
Oh, no kidding.
Anytime the Hoff makes an appearance on television, it's worth checking out because about half the time he smashed.
Bean and I are investigative reporters. A lot of people don't realize that about us, but occasionally we'll come across a story that we need to double check, make sure that it's true, make sure if we can find out any more information, like the cow urine soda that they're having in India.
Sure.
They're going to make that so that Pepsi and Coke won't be sold anymore and they can sell it themselves.
Why don't you guys just save the phone bill and call 7-Eleven?
Oh, first of all, most of them are from Pakistan that are running 7-Elevens. They would be very offended if we called with an India question.
Hey, is this K-Rock? Oh, hey, I read something in the news that the new segment you do where you call a different country and ask them about their news report is really gay.
That's not true. That's a false report.
Yeah. We looked into it. We called some people.
We did. We checked on that. We double-checked it. Beyonce's song, All the Single Ladies, or Single Ladies or whatever, just put a ring on it. Drives me out of my freaking mind. All the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies,
all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. I'm on board with Kevin.
Bit.
There are some videos up at krock.com of Dave the King of Mexico and I walking around the station putting a camera right in people's faces, literally in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And this girl is annoyed with me. I didn't even do it to her.
Hey, Kevin, you must have really nice coworkers because if you got that close to me with the camera, I'd punch you in the face.
Wow. She's angry.
Yeah.
She should punch me in
the
face.
That's usually your technique,
that's
by the way,
right. Punch in the face. She's using it on me. Here's a dude that wants us to tase him.
Kevin and Bean, you can tase me if I can see Miss Cleo's boots.
Done.
I bet a lot of people would stand in line for that. It's worth the 5 seconds of hell for the 5 seconds of heaven.
We need to get like a machine gun, a taser machine gun, just mow them all down. This dude is responding to the fact that we asked you to leave your phone number on the Afro line in case we want to follow up, you know, and call you back.
Leave my name and number? Are you kidding me? You're not calling anybody back. What is this, an answering machine? Oh, we're sorry, you missed your call, but leave your name and number and we'll be sure to get back to you. Yeah, right. What a joke. Oh, by the way, this is Jason, and you can reach me at 1-800-TOOLBAG.
1-800-TOOLBAG. And Jason, call back.
Yes, Kevin, not just a tool, but a tool bag.
Tool bag.
1-800-TOOLBAG. Kevin is a toolbag.com.
Wow, is someone own that?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
And yesterday we were talking to Psycho Mike about how he's trying desperately to get a happy ending massage.
Yeah.
And he's unable to do it, even though he goes to the least reputable places, which you would think it would be a pretty easy process. But he didn't think about this particular angle, and I think now he will.
Oh, hey, Psycho Mike. I heard you're looking for a special massage. We got every massage you need, big boy. Who knows you better than a man?
Yeah, you tell him. I go here all the time. They're great. All right. Rodney on the Raw totally supports special massages. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Could be the worst Rodney ever, and yet.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I just love peanut butter and would like people to be that I could talk to peanut about with peanut butter.
Oh, that was a moment with Bean.
I got to tell you, that's your best. That's your best work right there.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm very proud of that. And that was said before peanut butter started killing people, by the way.
That's true.
I'll look at it. All right. Good times. It's Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 647 Friday morning. Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What the hell is going on?
There is a curse on the set of Dancing with the Stars, man.
Oh, no.
Should be called Dancing with the People Who Get Injured Easily.
Who else got hurt?
Steve-O.
Oh, no! You're kidding.
Steve-O, by the way, who has, for Jackass, shot himself out of a cannon into a brick wall
right.
and,
right.
and you know, scaled down the side of an angry llama.
But he did it. But he did it all medicated.
Maybe that's what it is. He can't work sober.
Interesting. It's rough.
He apparently has. Well, he's just honked himself up. Here's his statement. A physical therapist has told me that my nerves are being pinched in my back, and as it is, it is in spasms because of an inflammation related to torn muscles.
Ouch.
Yeah, I'm doing everything I can to heal it. Icing, taking Advil, drinking water, visiting a chiropractor, being worked on by a physical therapist. I'm still rehearsing every day, but I have to walk through my routines rather than practicing the physical stunts and tricks that are incorporated into it. So, no word how he's going to be able to perform next week on the show, but...
They're all having a discussion about Dancing with the Stars. Lisa's not even allowed to contribute.
Oh, that's correct. Sweet.
She just has to sit it out.
That's correct.
Kevin didn't like sign a contract or make a check. It was awesome. He just made it rain on her.
He really? Did.
Like, Lisa, look, you can't talk about this period. Dropped a C-note right on her dome.
Wow. I played poker the night before and won.
Dropped a hundy on her.
Yeah.
Nice.
How about that?
She was just kidding. She's like, you can pay me $100. I won't talk about it.
You know what you can get from Lisa May for $100, by the way?
I was just thinking.
That's a waste of your money. Jeez.
This lasts longer, though.
So true. So Jewel is out, and Nancy Odell is out. Steve Wozniak's got the brace on his foot. He looks like he's close. I guess Belinda Carlisle's hurting, right? There's talk of her maybe being out.
Steve looks like he's teetering.
Out. This show's going to be done in 3 weeks.
It's going to be a show of attrition. Whoever's left standing will win the coveted mirror ball or whatever they win at the end.
I don't know what they win.
I don't know if they win either. Here's some more Dance with the Stars news. Since Lisa can't talk about it.
Not from you.
Denise Richards. Apparently, according to folks on the set, behind the scenes, who, of course, choose not to be identified.
Of course.
Has become, in their opinion, the number one least liked contestant in the show's 8 seasons.
Well, what a surprise.
I could talk about this.
Nope.
It might be interesting for you.
Dance with the Stars. An anonymous staffer says to the Chicago Sun-Times this week that Denise is insecure and, I quote, a demanding canker sore of a woman who complains about everything. And it's really clear that she is one insecure woman. She thinks she's smarter than the rest of us. It's really irritating. So
stupid ass bitch.
Yeah.
She really is not garnering any new fans over there on the cast of Dancing with the Stars.
What do you think, Lisa?
You think about that, Lisa? You know, think about Denise Richards and Dancing with the Stars?
Nope.
Just give the money back, and it's all yours.
That's right. You can shut up a storm. Lily Allen's in trouble. Apparently, she beat up a paparazzi the other day. She was in London yesterday going from her home to the recording studio. It started outside of her home when they were just crowding into her when she was getting into her car. She was cussing at them. At that point, she got to the recording studio. They were waiting for her on the other end of her trip. She got out. She flinged a water bottle at one of the paparazzi and then attacked a different guy, punching him and kicking him until her own security had to drag her away from
the melee. Here's a little news flash. It's not funny. In fact, it's pretty freaking unfunny.
This isn't Lily's first scrap with the paparazzo. She recently was arrested for a similar incident a couple years ago, actually, not that recently. But still,
so her security is not really for them. It's...
Well, I think it's
away.
For both, but when they see her getting into trouble, especially something that could land her in trouble with the law, I think they try to escort her away from the situation as quickly as possible.
I don't understand how this doesn't happen way more often. I mean, if they surrounded you like that, you would get tired of that in 30 seconds.
True. Absolutely. And it's hard, too. In this situation, I can imagine even more frustrating because it's not like she's out at a club or going to dinner or something. She's trying to get to work in the morning. She's got things, obviously, on her mind. She's recording, and she's trying to get into the studio, and I can see where that would be a drag.
Yeah.
And trust me, the British photographers are even worse than the American ones, if you can imagine. So I feel bad for her.
I think there was one star a while ago who tried to turn tables on the paparazzi by hiring people to follow them around and follow them home and follow them out. Apprentice, too, right?
Of the three of them, what do we have to blow each money? What do we need to do? Just have call us. We'll work something out. Look, I know you're hurting over there. The magazine's struggling. But let us help you out.
I'd rather a Bruce in there.
$100,000? Yeah, put Jenner in there. Put their mom in there with them.
Yeah.
Sure.
Put mom, Chris Kardashian, with Kim and Courtney. But Chloe, let Chloe hold the light or something. Have them get cappuccinos for everybody on set or whatever needs to be done that day. Because nobody needs that. Nobody. Naturally, in the interview, Chloe said she's the one who's all for it. Sure. It's always the ugly, dumpy ones who want to get naked for you, isn't it?
That's
That's just not good.
However, Courtney added, we could be the new girls next door, the brunette version.
Nope.
Nope. Just the two of you. Mm-hmm. Just you and Kim. That's all we need. Seriously. Do not do that. I am not kidding. And you know what the hard things about being famous is? People coming out of your past and ratting you out. Paul Rudd, who will soon be seen in the motion picture I Love You Man, along with Jason Segel, said the bitch about his recent high-profile status is that a lot of friends who knew him when are telling war stories about him to the press.
Oh, good.
One guy named Joe Buck, a friend of his, not the Joe Buck, but a Joe Buck, dished to Time magazine that Paul was a pretty big partier in college who used to get loaded and insist on getting completely naked and run around his fraternity house.
Awesome.
That's not the kind of story you want leaking to the press. It's just not.
It's not that different than Paul Rudd today, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Speaking of Paul, we'll be talking to him and to Jason Segel. They'll be coming to the studio live on March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, about their new movie, I Love You Man. And that evening is the red carpet world premiere of I Love You Man. I've got 4 packs of tickets to give away to that very special red carpet premiere. It's going to be at the Mann Village Theater in Westwood, California. You and 3 friends get to go if you're one of the first 5 callers right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers get a 4-pack of tickets to the red carpet world premiere of I Love You, Man. If you don't win, it's in theaters on March 20th. You can check it out then.
Sweet!
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
All right.
One thing about celebrities, they have birthdays.
They do have birthdays.
And every day I talk about the fact that there are birthdays and celebrities.
Usually what you do is read a list.
I know. Yeah.
Of those celebrities.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Have it right here. On the tip of my fingers. William H. Macy, one of my favorite actors, is 59 years old today.
I'll do a gosh darn car cat right now if you want. I'm cooperating here.
You got to put him near the top of the list of actors who only haven't won an Oscar because of bad luck. Because they certainly are capable of that kind of acting.
Oh, absolutely.
He can do the crappiest movie and still come out on top.
Be good, yeah.
He is 59 years old today. Dana Delaney, very talented and lovely actress from China Beach and Tombstone. Most recently, she was in Desperate Housewives. I think she's still in that cast. 53 years old. Adam Clayton of U2 is 49. Common turns 37. Danny Masterson of That 70s Show is 33. And actor Emil Hirsch, so good in Into the Wild and recently in Milk. He is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We are the station that is celebrating spring break at Bear Mountain next Friday. Our man Stryker and his tail, by the way, are going to be broadcasting live from up there on the sun deck at Bear Mountain with Vampire Weekend and Igloo and Hartley performing for free and live. So keep listening to win your lift tickets all weekend long, and you're invited to join the party. Even if you don't win, you can still go on up and enjoy the music for free, too.
There's a lot of pressure on guys when they are going to propose because the girls all talk about how the proposal works. And then, you know, and then they get put on the social ladder someplace based on how good your proposal was. So the guys feel a lot of pressure.
And by the way, you're absolutely right, Kevin, and it's always been a pet peeve of mine that the bigger picture, which is I'm asking you to marry me, seems to get lost because you didn't do it right.
Well, this guy didn't do it right. I mean, this story is about a New Mexico dude that went to Wendy's and put the engagement ring inside the Frosty.
Well, he's a classy dude, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, here's the report.
When it comes to proposing, most guys admit to being just a little bit nervous, but imagine how nervous Reed Harris became after hiding the ring in his girlfriend's milkshake. She ate the entire thing, and at the end, the ring was nowhere to be seen. A friend captured the hilarious episode on cell phone video. Take a look.
I put your ring in your Frosty.
Are you serious?
Why the milkshake?
That's a good question. I have no idea. It's just the first thing.
And so when he tells you this, Caitlin, he goes, I hid your ring in the milkshake, and now you realize what's happened. What was your response?
Why am I marrying
this guy?
I thought he was joking because, I mean, we joke with each other a lot, and I couldn't believe that I would swallow a ring. And
did you propose before you even got your hands on the ring?
Yes, I did.
With the X-ray?
With the X-ray in hand, yeah.
So what happened was the girl and somebody else in the Wendy's said, let's race. I bet I can finish the Frosty before you can.
Oh.
So she just wolfed the whole thing down immediately.
Oh, dear.
Well, let me just say, officially, he's smart to marry someone with so little gag reflex, first of all. if she could swallow a ring like that without even noticing. Now, producer Alex, by the way, who is
incredibly hard on men, as you guys know. Sure. Incredibly, incredibly demanding and difficult when it comes to men. She's like, oh, what's with guys putting rings in food? Why do guys do that all the time? it's pretty commonplace, Lisa. Is that always a no-go? I mean, is there never a time when that might work or be funny?
I think it's a terrible idea. I don't think it's romantic, number one. Because you're eating. You could end up choking on the thing. Well, maybe at the bottom of a champagne glass where you would see it. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, no. Lame. Completely lame.
So don't put it in food?
No, don't put it in food.
Let's talk. We're going to take your calls, too, by the way. And this is proposals gone wrong. You thought you had something brilliant planned, mm-hmm. and it didn't work out quite like you had thought. We have former sports.
Not for being an
idiot. In this particular case, though, I want you to tell us that you're an idiot.
It's warranted, yeah. See, my plan was to have her actually ingest the ring, and then the proposal would be when we went to the doctor to get the x-ray. There it is.
It's so, just like that other guy.
You put it in her food, though, right?
Yes, but I kept it in the box. And we, our first date was, you know, at a movie. We were college kids. So on our anniversary, we went back to the same theater to see a god-awful movie called Deep Impact.
Yes! And what's more romantic than that?
And the thing is, I was on the road, so I'm flying back from Washington, D.C. I mean, clear across the country. I've got 6 hours to think about this the whole way home because it's going down like 3 hours after I land. So first of all, she's like, "What? Why are we going to a movie? You just got home. You've been gone for a week. Let's just relax." So I've got that to deal with. I've got a crappy movie that we're going to see. I don't like popcorn. I never really have.
Right.
So yet I'm buying this giant vat, like the freaking economy size vat of popcorn. And the plan was to drop the ring in the popcorn, and she would just, you know, be snacking or whatever and stumble upon this thing and be, you know, in the dark, and it's kind of confusing, and then it all kind of comes together. Wait a minute, it's our anniversary.
And then before she realizes it, she's already said yes and can't back out.
Exactly. She's overcome with emotion and confusion. Victory for me.
How did you even, I mean, it would be such a mess to try to get the ring into a big thing of popcorn.
Well, I kept it in the box.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, it's dark. That's the great thing about the movie.
Yeah.
You can't really see what's happening. So I jam this thing into the popcorn.
And by this thing, you mean the ring?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. Because we've heard about the popcorn trick. Okay.
By no means.
All right.
I'm not pulling a Mickey Rourke. So for some, and as much as I dislike popcorn, she loves it. Yet she didn't want any on this particular
day.
Oh,
no thanks.
Didn't you guys have lunch before?
I don't know. I think we may have.
I think the story was she wasn't hungry because you'd had lunch.
I think that may have happened. But, you know, guys are always hungry. So
I would give anything to have a hidden camera of you trying to talk her, not hungry, into eating popcorn that she doesn't want.
Yeah, I've got a, you know, 2 foot in diameter freaking popcorn bucket in my hand in her face. Come on. You don't want any more of this? And I'm just whooping
what he
this
said.
Stuff down.
Right.
To try to get to the ring.
Which is already throwing her off. I didn't know you liked popcorn. When did this happen? and you know, my palms are sweating, so now the popcorn is covered with my disgusting sweat.
Oh.
And by the end of the film, she is not found the ring. Now I'm really stuck in a spot.
But my instinct would be rescue the ring and try something later.
You would think that would be the thing to do, right?
Yes.
Instead, I'm walking outside with the vat of popcorn. Still trying to force her to stick her hand in the damn vat. This ring, she can't understand. Comprehend. Why are you carrying popcorn out of the theater to the car? It's good popcorn.
I really like it.
So finally, by the time we get to the parking lot, I just abandon. It's time to punt. And instead of resetting, because her family already knows this was supposed to go down. So I know the cell phones. Yeah, even though.
Hey, by the way, not so much hate for Deep Impact, one of the great guilty pleasure movies of all time, by the way.
Yes. Come on. No doubt. Well, but remember, you can't quite get unintentional comedy to sink in when you're trying to execute a plan of becoming engaged.
That was a good plan, though. I mean, I think that was a good plan. It was just bad. Oh, it was a bad plan.
It was
bad.
It was a very, very bad plan.
Not a good idea.
Somehow, it was communism somehow. I don't know how, but somehow it was communism.
I think there's a little plan inside of every guy that when it gets executed perfectly, like all of her friends are going to like you. And like you're going to be the one guy like, oh, you should be more like Matt.
because right. he did it this way. Instead,
how'd that work out for you?
Well, at least it didn't go as bad as Carrie's engagement.
Well, that's a great story, Money. We appreciate you coming on and sharing it with us. We never run out of steam for laughing at bad things that happen to you.
No, it's great for you guys. I'm glad you enjoy it.
Thank you, Money. We'll talk to you soon. Money and P on afternoons from 4 to 7, 570 KLAC. And God knows there's nothing else on to listen to at that time of the day. Hey. All right. Thank you, dude.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now. All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We have a bunch of people who are on hold with proposals that didn't go exactly as planned.
Excellent.
And we'll talk to you and get some more of your phone calls at that phone number next on KLAC. Been too long, dude.
I know.
Yeah, I like it more than I knew I would. How about that?
Let's go
he had told us that he had dropped it in the ocean. That he was proposing a drop in the ocean. I thought, oh, what a great story that's going to be.
I mean, we should have known he was a Santa Monica guy. He said he dropped it in Santa Monica Pier.
True.
There you go.
Nice. All right, let's go to Debbie in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Debbie.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Debbie.
What happened?
Hi, Lisa May.
Hey.
No. My husband actually screamed at me during the middle of an argument, my proposal.
He screamed your proposal in the middle of an argument?
Yes.
How did that work?
Well, basically what it was Valentine's Day. Uh-huh. And he wanted to propose. Mm-hmm. And the problem was that he had gotten so wrapped up in trying to get the ring, which unfortunately he didn't have the funds to get the ring.
Right.
So he had no ring. So he had no plans. Mm-hmm. So we had no dinner plans, nothing. We ended up going to like Jack in the Box or something for dinner that night.
Class.
And we both had had bad days at work. So we were both in a bad mood. And we ended up getting into a fight. And during the middle of the fight, he screams out, well, you know, I was going to do something or whatever it is, but, you know, I just didn't get around to it. And I said, well, you could have stopped at the corner from Paco and bought some flowers for like $5. It's all you could have done was buy me some stinking flowers. And then he screams out, you want some flowers? I was going to ask you to be my wife, but fine. No, I'll go buy you some effing flowers. He grabs his car keys and starts to walk out the door. And I'm like, what?
Wow, and, this is a match made in heaven, Debbie.
It is. And how long you guys been married?
7 years.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
How about that?
That's amazing.
Very funny. Thank you for the call. Let's go out to Ontario now on line one. We've got Kathy hanging on for the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kathy, tell us about your proposal gone wrong.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello, Kathy.
Okay, I guess you can call it a proposal because I knew we were getting married because mm-hmm. I had the ring because I put the down payment on it.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And this is how it kind of went down. We were sitting in the bathroom. He was naked, ready to get in the shower. I'm fully clothed, sitting on the toilet seat talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes a proposal. And I was looking at the ring, right? Here comes a proposal. I know you want to wear it. Why don't you just put it on?
That's what he said first?
What?
That's how he asked you?
That was it.
I know you want to wear it, so just put it on.
Oh, the whole thing is so odd. I mean, you bought the ring before he proposed? But Kathy, why would you buy a ring before he proposed?
I was pregnant.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
You left that detail everything. Out.
Well, she is calling from Ontario. I mean, we should have assumed that. But okay. All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
Well, apparently he did.
Thank you, Kathy. Let's go to Andy in Fullerton. Good morning, Andy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you doing? Kevin Bean, Lisa.
Hi, good. Andy.
What happened?
All right, so I had a night planned for the wifey, and we ended up going to a party first. And I'm all nervous. I didn't eat nothing, and I've been just slamming drinks.
Excellent.
Long story short, I ended up yakking in the toilet, and she came in to see me. So I asked her to, ended up asking her to marry me there, and so I pretty much forgot everything. And next day, it turned out to be an awkward moment. I didn't even know it.
You didn't. Okay, so you threw up, then asked her to marry you, and then forgot it the next day.
Yeah, because I was that hammered, so I forgot it the next day. And she was like, "Do you remember what you said to me?" No, I was pretty hammered, babe. And then she told me the whole story. Just made me feel
that's
like an
fantastic.
Idiot.
That's
and
fantastic.
And she married you?
Yeah, I'm actually a very sweet guy, Lisa May.
You know what's really bizarre?
So forgiving.
Yeah, they are. That's what I was just going to say. It's so bizarre that none of these were deal breakers.
Proposing he first loved me. Mm-hmm. Well, instead he's bawling. He's like, well, you know, do you want to go for a walk? I'm like, no, are you crazy?
But wouldn't it be romantic down by the beach?
Do you want to go out to eat, maybe to dinner? What are you? No, I don't want to do anything. And he's like, well, hold on just a second. And he goes into the kitchen, comes back with a beer, and he's just chugging the beer down, looking at me going, God, what do I do? And he just sort of said, well,
I'm going to do it anyway. And he got down on his knee and he asked me to marry him. And he said, you know, it's just a job and this is our life. But
so yeah, it ended up romantic.
It did end up romantic, but definitely the opposite. I went from the world is ending to my life is now beginning.
Right, sure.
Yeah, there you go. So he did the right thing, it sounds like.
Yeah. I like that he had to get the liquid courage going. I like that.
I do too. Although I don't know why he would marry a woman who can't keep a job, but I mean, okay.
Thank you for the call.
Wow, we got some great calls here, by the way. There are a lot of botched proposals. Let's try Lucia or Lucia in Moreno Valley, please, on line two. Hey, is it Lucia? Lucia? What is it?
Lucia.
Lucia. All right. Thanks for calling. What happened?
Well, I was pregnant at the time, and I was paying my insurance for Kaiser. And then my husband's like, well, my boyfriend at that time, he goes, well, you know what? Why don't we just get married and put you on my insurance? That was my proposal.
So it was more of a let's share the insurance payment than it was...
Yeah.
Let's get married.
Nice.
It'll cost us less, I guess. Let's just do that.
I mean, I know that that's practical. It was probably a good idea, and I can understand why that would be a factor for a couple that's going to get married one day anyway. But it does kind of take the romance out of the moment, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yeah, seems to. All right, mm-hmm. Thank you for the call. Let's see here. We got so many good ones. Let's go to Stacy in Burbank. Good morning, Stacy.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Lisa.
Hi, Stacy.
What happened?
So I had been with my husband now for about a year and a half. We talked about getting married, but we didn't really have the money. I just graduated from college and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we were up in Lake Tahoe with his family, and we were at a Christmas party. And his sister turned to me and said, well, haven't you guys, you know, talked about getting married, this type of thing? We said we didn't have money. And she looked at both of us and said, well, why don't we just go to the lake tomorrow? I'll pay for it.
His sister said that?
Yes. So he turned to me and he goes, yeah, I'm into that. Are you?
Wow. Nice.
That's the proposal. Yeah, I'm into that. Are
yeah,
you?
It sounds kind of cool, I guess, if you don't want to see a movie or something.
Right. Right.
I could take it or leave it. Whatever. And how long have you guys been married, if you in fact still are?
14 and a half years.
Yep.
Wow. Look at that.
Thank God women have a sense of humor, you know?
Yeah.
No kidding. Fit.
$250, and actually she did pay for it. So.
There you go.
That's a good deal.
So now you're married to his sister as well. That's great.
All right. Let's squeeze in one more. I think we got Laura on line 8 in Van Nuys. Laura, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hi there.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. Well, my fiance and I have been together for 3 years now, and he proposed to me about a year. And yet we were like, he was 12 and I was 15. I'm a couple years older, and we were childhood friends, and we lost touch, and then we reunited, and we never dated before. We were just like friends. You know, his sister is one of my best friends.
How did you hook up with him? I mean, how did you get to know him again when he was in prison?
Staying with his sister, and I found an old picture of him. I hadn't seen him in a few years, and so I found out he was in prison. I wrote to him, started visiting. We fell in love, and we've been together ever since.
And by together, okay. You and by mean together, you visit him in prison.
You mean not together, right?
By together, you mean strictly not together.
We haven't had any physical relationships.
Wow.
Every week, and I write him every day. And
if you don't mind my asking, you said his security level was quite difficult. What did he do?
He's a sweetheart. He's just kind of a badass, and politics in there, and blah blah blah. Nothing.
Let me ask it another way. What did he do?
He originally went in when he was younger for joyriding and silly stuff like that.
Right, but what did he do this time when you and insecurity was high?
I can't talk
say
about
it. Say it! Hey, he's your husband to be. I mean, you're not going to hide this for the rest of your life. It's going to come out, right?
I don't know. That's for him to say. We'll call back when he gets out.
Wow. Call back when he gets out.
We will.
That's a great idea. So it's been 3 years kind of total, and he's been in jail the whole time.
He's been in for a total of 6, and we've been together for about 3.
Is it? I'm sure you've had this discussion with your friends and family, and I wish we had more time to get into this. But I mean, there have to be people who say that part of the excitement and the thrill is the fact that you can't be together, and that it might be a crushing disappointment when he gets out. You got to spend more time with him.
Well, let's put it this way: at visits, we tend to get away with a couple things. At least, you know, we can't touch each other. But what he's working with, I'm not worried about it.
Wow! All right.
Good luck, Lara. That's all I gotta say.
Romantic, actually. I'm very much in love with him. I'm so excited, and he gets out soon, and we're really excited for a new life together. His name's Dustin. I don't think he can hear us, but
All right. Well, what could go wrong here?
Laura, we need to get a phone number from you so we can keep up with what's going on in you and your crazy life, okay?
Awesome.
All right. Okay, good. We want you to call back when he gets out, too.
All right, will do.
All right.
Okay.
We may have to do this at another time. But
yes.
No kidding. I know a woman, and I'm not going to say her name here, Kevin, but you know her also, who met a guy who has been in prison for years for murder, met him after he was in prison. They fell in love and are married now. And there's no possibility, it looks like, that he's ever going to get out.
Wow. Really?
How about that? At least she's got a date later this year where she could actually – yeah, maybe, right. She's got a date at least potentially, but this guy, I mean, they're married and they've never been together.
Oh, well, how hard is that to be married then? What's the secret of your success? He's in prison for life.
People are honked up, and maybe we're wrong. Maybe this is the great love story of the 21st century. I don't know, but it's not for everybody. That's for sure.
Wow. I didn't expect that.
Laura's call. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. 743 Ruff has the movie beat coming up next half hour. The Laura's call a few minutes ago, if you weren't with us, she called and told us about a guy that she basically had known from being a kid, and then she kind of met him again as an adult while he was behind bars. And now they're engaged and they're planning on being married if and when he gets out of jail at some point. And that's just so fascinating. It's just kind of thrown everybody into a tizzy because who can imagine a relationship like that working?
And we kept asking her why he was in prison, and she wouldn't say. She said, oh, he was in prison, earlier in his life for joyriding, but she wouldn't say. But if he's in prison for 6 years, that's what she said, right?
Yeah.
Three, they've been together, three more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
gotta be grand theft or.
And it sounds like
plans. Murder.
It sounds like they have plans to get married as soon as he gets out, which is a whole other crazy thing I don't get.
Considering they've never really
spent any time together.
Awesome.
The only time you spend together is on visiting day, right? For a couple of hours or whatever you've got, but with glass in between.
That's it.
I don't know. What's the rush?
What is the rush? Unless you're trying to marry him before he kills another dude and heads back. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's what you think. All right. I can't believe this is true, but apparently James is on the line from Hollywood on line 5. James apparently has some insight on this story. I don't know what's going on. Hey, James, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May. How you doing?
Good. You know these people? You know this Laura?
Yeah, we got divorced about almost 3 years now.
Oh.
Really?
Whoa. You don't just know her. You used to be married to her?
I was married to her for about 6 years. We were together for about 10.
Okay. She said that she got together with this guy in prison 3 years ago.
Yeah, I found out when we were married, she was writing this guy. She knows him through her friend, whatever.
Right.
And, behind my back, she's writing letters. She set up a separate, postal box and all that. And
So this wasn't innocent. This wasn't just an innocent, hey, this is an old friend of mine. I want to cheer him up while he's in prison.
No, I wasn't innocent at all.
Okay, so.
And when we were married, I used to have him over when he was like 15 years old, just a little kid playing my Nintendo in my house. And
when he was practicing murder?
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know that he murdered a guy.
What was he in for?
He was a troubled kid, let's put it that way.
Yeah, but what was he in for?
I think it was joyriding, some drugs, and I think some things happened while he was in jail. He got longer sentences.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, I see.
Wait, I'm confused. He was in your house when he was 15 years old.
Yes. It's her girlfriend's little brother.
All right, this is turning into a Jerry Springer episode. I'm having a lot of trouble keeping the players here straight. But look,
I have full custody of my son now. I'm real happy. Things are going extremely well for me. Well, good.
But James, let me ask you this because I have to know. You say he was a troubled kid, but how did he grow into the kind of man who could steal your wife while he's in prison?
She had a lot of problems herself. She was a little bit of an alcoholic, and she had her issues.
But you lost a girl to a guy in prison.
Maybe it was for the better.
Maybe.
All right, was she, did she show signs of craziness while you were married? Proposals that went wrong. Yeah. And this one apparently went right. He kneeled down behind the glass and asked her to marry him, and she seems to be perfectly happy.
Look, women want a good story. She's got one.
She does.
Yeah, now, I know her family's not too happy about any of it.
Can't imagine that.
I'm gonna ask this question, James, and I know it's gonna be very difficult for you to be objective. But forget the history that you guys have. Do you think there's any possibility that this guy and she are gonna end up being together and staying together, and it could end up where they're happy together?
I really doubt it. I'm sure she'll be extremely happy when he does get out, but I mean, she's never lived with a guy. She doesn't know how he's going to be. You know, he's been in jail for so long. He might want to go see 20 different women right away. I don't know.
Sure. You think? How did she tell you?
I knew through the letters that...
You found the letters?
And her, you know, her girlfriend, her best friend, whatever. I'm still kind of friends. She calls me every once in a while, so I know the whole story.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
So she filled you in all the details.
Yeah. Mm. All right, James. Well, I'm glad you called to tell us that. It is a it's a fascinating story, and I hope we can get back in touch with Laura and find out how it goes for those happy kids
once he gets out. I'm sorry. Just a second. Hey, Laura.
What?
Oh, no.
Laura.
Hi.
Laura.
What are you doing, girl?
Is James still on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Hi, James. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just ready. I actually have to go shoot a commercial here in about 10 minutes. So.
Oh, yes.
Hey, tell James, tell Junior to call me later, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
All right, love you guys.
Hey, Laura.
Hi.
Do you and James keep in touch? Are you guys still friendly because you have the kid?
Oh, we're total friends, yeah. We got through a lot of stuff, which he called and decided to describe to you, which I'm very surprised.
That was a lot, sure.
Do you have any disputes with anything he said?
I didn't hear the whole thing because, to be honest with you, I'm on my way up to see Dustin now, and I lose reception.
All right. Sorry, James. He said that you left him and your kid for a dude in prison.
Oh, that's just his perception. Our marriage, as he said, was troubled in the first place. I had some issues with alcoholism.
Okay.
I got out of the marriage. It was going to happen eventually, and it sort of just overlapped. Dustin's kind of my saving grace, and I'm his. It's actually a really beautiful story, but unfortunately my ex-husband has resentments against me, which I understand.
I don't know. He sounds pretty happy to be done with you, to tell you the truth. It may have been tough at the time, but I think maybe what I'm saying is maybe he agrees with you. In retrospect, it was probably best that it ended between you two.
I agree with that, and he was my best friend since we were 17, and it just kind of, we grew apart, but my son, he's a wonderful father. He does amazingly for my son, and we have a wonderful...
How does that make sense?
That song needs a few.
It doesn't need a boo.
Few drum machine sounds at the end of it.
No, it doesn't.
Boo, 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 boo.
All right, an action-packed 8 o'clock hour coming up for you on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Ralph's got the movie beat, and also the return of Doto, one of our favorite K-Rock listeners. Who I don't even know if we've talked to him this year. It seems like it's been so long since we've had Doe on the air. So we get
an
update.
Kevin and Bean is Dow Doe. Doto, yeah. Kevin and Bean. I just don't know what the hell to tell you guys, man. This is Kevin Bean. I really want to make it in the entertainment industry, okay. So I guess I know what I'm doing.
We'll talk to you about it right after the news.
I know what the hell I hate to do. So,
all right.
Yeah, my stomach, man. Yeah. It's just really killing me. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, KRQFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. What's going on?
I don't know if you've heard or not, but there's been some moving going on over there at NBC at late night.
What?
I don't know if you've heard or not, but Jimmy Fallon, you know, is doing the late night show over there that Conan O'Brien used to do.
Right.
But Jay Leno is going to do the Tonight Show forever, right?
Ah ha ha! Au contraire, mon frère. Turns out Jay Leno's leaving the Tonight Show and Conan O'Brien will be taking over that job.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Jay isn't leaving until June.
Okay.
F*** that guy. What would he need him for?
So NBC, geniuses that they are... have decided to move several of the series finales of their most popular shows to that same said week.
What week is that?
June 1st. Okay. First week in June. So, for example, Medium season finale won't be until Monday, June the 1st. Law & Order, SVU, the next day, and then Law & Order the day after that. So that week that Conan takes over, NBC will be showing the last episodes of their most popular TV series.
But are we going to have to take like a month and a half off
while
we wait?
All seamlessly feeds into one another?
But answer...
So they're trying to get a bunch of eyeballs on Conan is what they're trying to do, right?
Exactly, and it's sort of his coming out party. So they're moving the series finales for the season finales to that same said week.
But genius. They're not back-timing it. They're
new.
They're going to just put it off for
so
a while.
So this week you'll hear... And in 7 weeks on Law and Order.
Unbelievable.
The most shocking season finale of all. Mariska Hargitay and her giant cans in Law and Order SVU.
Are they going to figure out a way to stretch out the ER finale again? Are
absolutely.
They going to do that?
Sure. They're going to show it a minute at a time for the next month.
A month?
Next week on ER. I chose it. And then next week after that. I think that. It's just going to be that.
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
Did you guys see ER last night?
No.
I've TV'd it, but I haven't watched it yet. But last night was the return of Doug Ross, the character played by George Clooney. That was the rumor. They couldn't promote it, but I'm assuming that's what happened.
Yeah,
so I'm desperate to watch it.
Watch
why can't they promote
years.
George Clooney, by the way? I'm guessing it was part of the deal they made with him. He said, look, I'll come back, but let's not make a big deal about it kind of thing. Because they were saying, all of your favorites will return.
Right.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
One that won the Oscar.
Juliana Margulies. Maybe she'll see her ex-boyfriend from ER, perhaps. I'm guessing yes. Wink, wink. That was kind of how they were selling.
Remember that guy?
Remember who her boyfriend was? Think back. Yeah, that guy. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
So I'm hoping. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm hoping. Or as my wife would say, you're going to watch your boyfriend?
That's true.
She mocks me constantly about George Clooney.
Stephen King. He writes books.
He does.
He writes big
a
books.
A lot of them.
Do you remember It?
Yes.
The horror movie wrote about the freaky clown Pennywise.
Yes.
Where the band Pennywise got their name from.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he lived in the sewers and he went after those kids who were the Losers Club when they're all grown up.
I don't think I ever really watched that.
Oh, scared them.
You know what, Adamy.
Then they made a TV miniseries out of it on ABC with Ned O'Toole and John Ritter and Harry Anderson and Tim Reed and Richard Thomas. Tim Curry played Pennywise. He played the clown.
Is there a reason for this much detail?
Just that I loved it. And finally, Hollywood's doing the right thing. They're making that book into a major motion picture.
Ah.
Now that's a remake I can get behind.
Okay.
Because it was an okay sort of TV movie version of that. But I bet you could really turn up the suspense and stuff if you did it on the big screen with a big budget.
I'd be too scared.
Who can do this? I'm not going to
I'm not going to go.
I'm not going to go see it.
It's scary.
I'm going to skip it. I'm not going to it. So, Hollywood Reporter says it's in the works. They're going to have a brand new version of it, which is good news.
And then 2012 musical.
That's right. On Broadway. On Broadway. I'm a clown. It's so scary. Can't wait. And speaking of big budget motion pictures, Marvel Studios has announced there will be three, count them, three superhero movies coming out in the summer of 2011. Spider-Man 4, Thor, and Captain America, all on slate to be released that same said summer in 2011.
What's going to happen?
A lot of comic book movies.
What's going to happen next? We have this summer first, and then next summer.
This summer you get dick.
Okay.
That's what you get. Nothing. Zip. Bupkis.
Guys, how are you all feeling about it? I never went to see the emo Spidey movie, number three, but they got plenty of storylines for Spider-Man, right?
Yeah,
that franchise is in no danger of running out of steam, right?
Plenty of villains left, and Tobey Maguire, you know, is coming back.
Yeah. Like, emo was the worst of the three, though.
Yeah,
I mean, that was
absolutely.
That was a misstep, but I'll still go back.
I think they're going to ramp up the more action sort of, you know, like the Doc Ock, the second one, was really strong.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing they'll bring the Lizard as his main villain. Lizard or Vulture or Electro. Oh, it's going to be awesome.
I don't know any of these characters.
Yeah, some of Spider-Man's villains.
Okay.
Electro shoots electricity. As you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lizard's thus actually a dude who becomes a giant lizard.
And sells car insurance.
That's right.
Yes. A lot of people don't know.
And if you cut like his arm or his tail off, it grows back.
That's true.
It is true.
I know.
That's how Dr. Kirk Connors became the Lizard. Because he lost his arm and he was trying to find a way to replicate human limbs by taking the genetic substance of a lizard who can regrow their own limbs. And
come on. I can't say that.
Very well, job done, baby.
Thank you so much. Oh, look at the time. Today's celebrity birthdays. William H. Macy's 59 years old today. Dana Delaney from China Beach and from Tombstone. She was great in that. And most recently, Desperate Housewives. She's 53 years old. Adam Clayton of U2 turns 49. Common is 37. Danny Masterson from That 70 Show turns 33. And actor Emil Hirsch turns 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I couldn't be prouder right now that the International Man of Mystery is back at the phone. Doto, one of our all-time favorite K-Rock listeners, has been taking a little bit of a break from the Kevin and Bean Show, but we have been able to wrangle him for another appearance, and we welcome him to the show right now. Hey, Do.
How's it going, Bean? Happy New Year's. Long time no talk.
Yeah, what's the deal, Do? We thought love had died for a while there when we haven't heard from you, but it sounds like you've just been busy, right?
I've been busy with this relationship for 3 months.
Did you say relationship?
Yeah.
Like with a girl?
Yeah. This Japanese woman I met at a restaurant a few months ago, and then I went up to her, we talked, and we got to know each other, and we just have been hanging out a lot lately.
Hey, Do, can you speak up a little bit? You're super, super quiet on the phone today.
Are you someplace that you can't talk?
Is she asleep?
Are you in her bedroom?
Yeah, is she asleep next to
you? I'm there. No, when I mean I met this person, we hung out a lot and we got to know each other. She's Japanese. Lady.
Okay. All right, never mind. All right, so I'm curious what kind of game Doto is spitting out. So you saw her in a restaurant and you thought, wow, that's a good-looking Japanese woman. I want to meet her.
Then I went up to her, I talked to her, and I introduced myself and asked her, would you like to get a cup of coffee? And she said, yeah. And then I guess a week later, we meet up and things went pretty well.
Uh-huh. Wow. And what did you say to her first? I mean, what was your opening line when you walked over to the table, Doe? Because a lot of guys have trouble with that first step.
I don't have trouble. I'm pretty bold, Bean. You know that, Bean.
Yeah, Bean, you know that.
You're pretty bold.
let me give the K-Rock a listen. Here's my secret, Bean.
Okay.
My secret is I went up to her and I said, hey, you look very familiar. Are you Japanese or Korean, right?
Okay.
And she told me she's Japanese, and I told her my name is Do, and I'm Chinese, and I'm studying public policy, and I seem to say that you seem pretty interesting, and I'd like to get to know you. Maybe we can hook up, we can meet up for a cup of coffee.
Okay, and that worked, and she said yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. And how much have you been seeing the mystery lady?
Yeah, about two or three times a week.
No kidding.
Wow.
Do you see her only when she brings you your food in the restaurant?
No.
She's not a waitress, Kevin.
I met her at the restaurant, Bean.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
That was Kevin, actually. She's not a waitress. She doesn't work there. She just happened to be eating at the restaurant,
yes,
right?
Yes, Bean.
Let's let Doe answer the questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah, she has to be eating at the restaurant. That's how I met her.
Okay, and is she 5'8", 5'9"?
Well, she's 5'7".
Oh, see, that's a little light for you.
It's close.
So, what kind of things do you guys do?
Yeah, a lot of times we go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
We go to San Diego. We go to.
Wow.
Oh, excuse me. Yes, Nick. Hold up, guys.
Hey, Doe.
Is Doe being spoken to in a foreign language?
Is she there?
Bean.
Yes.
Yes, Doe.
Hold up.
Do we need to call the authorities? I don't know what's happening.
Okay.
This is awesome.
There's a real girl there.
I think.
It has to be his mom, though, right?
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
So you asked me what I did. We go to San Diego a lot.
No, just forgive me just for butting in here, but was that her?
No, that was that was my old man.
That was your old man?
That was a woman.
On the phone, that's all. I told
that was a
we
woman.
Heard a woman. We heard a woman's voice, Dale.
No, that was a sister of mine.
Oh, your sister.
That was a sister of mine. Okay.
Yeah, as I mentioned, we hung out a lot. We eat a lot. We went to the Arler Garden Macaroni Grill and also an Italian restaurant.
Have you been to any buffets?
Yeah.
One. You finally took a girl to the Olive Garden. That's been your dream.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
all right.
Great.
Doe, everyone's thinking it, so I'm just going to have to ask because we need to know. Has there been any... What, Del?
I know. Did I get with her?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm asking, has there been any romance? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I was at her place a couple times. We were watching some Korean movies and Japanese movies.
Okay, yes, and then?
And then?
That
hasn't got there yet, Bean.
Oh.
That's okay. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with taking it slow, man. Nothing wrong with that.
I told Bean I'm going on my trip next week to Taiwan.
Why are you going to Taiwan?
My relative of mine get married.
How many relatives do you have, Doe? You talk about your relatives. There seems like there's millions of them.
No.
It does.
I have a couple relatives in Taipei.
What?
I have a couple relatives in Taiwan.
A couple?
Yeah. And how do you do, Bean? I might want to fly over to Japan and meet the parents.
Yes, you should.
Well, yeah, I mean,
shouldn't you
have her
with you?
Is she going to be in Japan or is it just going to be you?
She's going to be there.
Oh.
I think that's fine then. I mean, if you think this is a relationship that may be going someplace, there's nothing wrong with meeting her family, certainly.
You know, does it ring a bell being she's Chinese but born in Japan?
I don't know if that would ring a bell.
You mean does it ring a bell, meaning does Bean recognize that in her?
No, I mean, I'm just telling you that she is Chinese, but she's born in Japan.
Oh, so you're saying that's kind of weird.
She speaks a little Chinese, not she speaks mainly Japanese, not too much Chinese.
Okay.
Does she speak English also?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, listen, Doe, we're out of time, but this has just been so fascinating. I got to be honest, you're the last person in the world we would ever expect to have a girlfriend, but it really does sound like it's going great for you.
Yeah.
Doe, we would love if we could call and congratulate her or put her on the phone.
Thanks, Kevin.
Can we talk to her?
Can you put her on the phone?
Let me talk about that.
Please. Yeah, come on, Doe.
Perhaps at another time we can talk to both of you, Doe?
Yes.
So you're tough to track down, my friend. I mean, we try to get you on the show for weeks at a time. Put her on the phone now.
No, she's on the phone, Bean. Kevin.
I know,
Kevin. Yeah, she's not there. I don't think she's there right now, Kevin.
No.
But some other time we can do that, right, Doe?
Yeah, we could do that, Kevin. Yeah, Bean.
I'm Bean, right. Okay. All right, Doe. Listen, you're the best. Thanks for coming on. We'll look forward to catching up with you again soon. I'm glad this love thing is working out for you.
So hopefully I get to meet some other girls on the airline.
What?
But no, but you're working on this girl.
Because I thought we shouldn't put our eggs in one basket, right?
Yeah! You just spent 10 minutes talking about this girlfriend of yours, and you're going to fly to Japan and meet her parents.
Doe, you haven't put an egg in any basket yet.
Doe, you're doing the right thing. You need to fly back to Korea or wherever it is, meet her family, and meet some chicks on the airline on the way. You rule.
All right, Doe. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye. Hey.
I love him. I want to marry Doto.
I don't blame you.
Apparently, he's playing the field, so you might have a shot.
All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, you can tell, because we start drinking early on Fridays. But see what I mean? See what I'm telling you? It's 8:25. Rob is here with a look at the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
How do we get Bean drunk? That was the question I was going to ask.
That's a great question.
That's got to happen someday,
someway. We've tried many times.
Bean, you said about a month ago you discussed it, and you seemed somewhat willing to just give it a shot just once.
I don't recall that conversation, but I may have been loaded. I'm not a drinker, though,
we
Ralph.
Know
that's
that.
The,
we
that's
know
the problem,
that.
Though.
We're not,
I don't drink, really.
You to take it up as a lifestyle. We're just saying one day, one show, let's have some cocktails and sit back and watch the fireworks.
I think I would be so miserable, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
not that you care. But
I don't know.
No, we would find that very entertaining, though.
Yeah.
Your misery notwithstanding, I think we would enjoy the hell out of it. Let's just think about it, shall we?
Noted.
All right, let's talk about the movies in the Cineplex this weekend. Four interesting films for your perusal. We'll take a look at all of them. Let's start off with Miss March.
Miss March.
Let me give you the premise of Miss March.
I'm in.
Dude falls in love with a girl in high school, goes into a four-year coma, wakes up, and she's become a hot pinup in Playboy. So he takes a cross-country trip to crash a party at Hef's mansion in order to win her back. Okay. You let us know that it works out for you, Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah. Here is a scene from Miss March where one of the dudes is telling his buddy the proper Playboy mansion etiquette.
Now, lesson two. When you get to the mansion and you see a pretty girl, you can't just walk up to her and ask her to have sex with you.
Okay.
You have to engage her in stimulating conversation first. Find out who she is. Ask her questions like, what is her favorite animal? Or, what's her most embarrassing moment?
You let us know how that works out for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that.
This thing looks horrific.
That's
any
for me.
Any stars, at least, in it? Anyone we like?
No. The two guys who were in it, I believe, wrote it?
Is it a real Miss March that's in it?
No, just some smoking hot chick.
But the chick is insane hot.
Yeah, she's well hot, but come on.
Okay.
The two guys are from a sketch comedy troupe called The Whitest Kids You Know. They have a show on the IFC.
I am familiar with that, yeah.
Yeah. So, maybe.
Somebody email us and let us know how that is.
Yeah, let us know how it works out for you.
Okay.
The Race to Witch Mountain also opens today. This, of course, is a remake of the popular Disney film, which I watched over and over and over as a kid growing up. So I've got a lot of warm feelings towards this film. This is a remake starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I guess we're dropping The Rock now. He's just Dwayne Johnson.
I guess.
But you know him as The Rock from WWE. He's a cab driver who picks up two unusual kids. They turn out to be aliens.
What?
Yes.
What are the chances?
And chaos ensues as they try to get to Witch Mountain to get their spaceship back. This is for the kids.
Yeah.
It sounds like it can't miss, too, by the way. It sounds like, it has everything to be a big hit, right?
Like I told you, I love the original. I think if they stick closely to it, just recasting it and updating it a touch, it'll be enjoyable for the kids, because I know I loved it. Here's a scene where Gary Marshall, who, by the way, is a very popular director, did Pretty Women and a bunch of other films.
Mm-hmm.
But I always love him as an actor. He's very funny as an actor. He plays a doctor, and the alien kids are asking him in this scene about their spaceship.
We have reason to believe a team of government-sponsored covert operatives recovered the spacecraft.
Okay, back up a little. This is not space camp. You know, you're very lucky, you two, that you didn't come face-to-face with the aliens who are in that craft. They're like deadly praying mantises. They eat your flesh.
Oh, yes, we are indeed lucky kids not to have had our flesh eaten by the aliens.
See, they're the aliens. He doesn't even know.
It's a misunderstanding.
It's a crazy misunderstanding. You ever seen him in, what was the Albert Brooks film? Something in America.
Lost in America.
Where he plays the head of the casino where Albert Brooks' wife loses all her money.
I don't think I saw that.
We're not just schmucks here to say we see Wayne Newton. I like Wayne Newton. Does that make me a schmuck? Last House on the Left opens this weekend as well. Another remake of a classic horror film. This is a great premise. Tony Goldwyn and Monica Potter star in this film. One of their daughters gets brutally attacked by this gang of psychopathic criminals. Unbeknownst to this gang, they go to seek refuge in this vacation home that is owned by the parents of one of their victims.
Oh.
And so mom and dad devise this elaborate series of revenge tortures on this gang. So this is like a horror movie, but the good guys are going after the bad guys for a change.
It's still too scary for me.
Which is very exciting. Here's a scene from the film where Tony Goldwyn and Monica Potter, who I mentioned play the mom and dad of one of the victims, are trying to get their daughter to safety.
We are going to get her to a hospital, okay? We are going to do this.
They're still here. What if they come over here?
I know. You're right. This means we're going to be ready for anything. We're going to be ready to do anything. We're going to do it.
A lot of tension.
I love that.
Yeah. And lastly, a movie that I caught this week that I can't stop talking about. I've been telling everybody who will listen how much I love Sunshine Cleaning. This is one of those rare things that you run across every once in a while, which is a perfect little movie. I loved this film. The script was outstanding. And sometimes, you know, I love big budget blockbuster kind of movies. I love what you can get for your entertainment dollar up on the big screen with a lot of special effects and that kind of stuff. But once in a while, you'll go to see a film which is just about people and their lives. And you walk out so thoroughly entertained because sometimes that's what movies do best. They just tell a story about people. And this is one of those situations. This is a comedy drama, mostly a drama, about a girl who was very popular in high school cheerleader, dating the captain of the football team in a small town in New Mexico, and things don't pan out for her the way you think they would have. She becomes a house cleaner, basically. And she's got a honked-up relationship with her sort of slacker sister, played by Emily Blunt in this film. Amy Adams plays the lead, who's brilliant.
Her.
Their dad is a slightly daffy, old, crotchety dude, played by Alan Arkin.
Oh,
love
he's
him.
Remember
great.
Him when he played the grandfather in Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah, he was great.
And the high school football captain she was formerly in love with is Steve Zahn. Another one of my favorite actors. So all these actors in one film was already a sure bet for me. But the script is endlessly entertaining. It's a fascinating story. And what she ends up doing is she decides to start her own crime scene cleaning business. She's going to get out of cleaning people's homes and start cleaning up the remains of horrific crime scenes.
That seems bad.
And she goes into business with her slacker sister. And it's about how she grows as a person and kind of finds herself along the way. It is a really entertaining film. And unlike anything you see in a lot of movie theaters these days, it's a small little film with brilliant performances and a great script. And it is more of a drama than a comedy, but it's sort of a hopeful tragedy by the end of the whole thing. You should check it out. I recommend
Expand
it.
Expand on that.
Here is here's the scene where Amy Adams is talking to Emily Blunt, who plays her sister, who's almost unrecognizable in this. She has a brilliant American accent, and she's got dark hair, and she's sort of like a tattooed sort of loser. She comes up with the idea here, basically, about how they can make money by cleaning up after dead people.
You really think you can make a ton of cash cleaning up after dead people?
I know I can. It's very lucrative.
How are you going to afford private school?
It's only until I get my real estate license, and I quit smoking, by the way.
Who's going to private school?
Nobody did.
Did Oscar get kicked out again?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, for God's sake, what is wrong with those people? He's an imaginative kid. Don't they have any sense at all?
I want to have my birthday at Hinkle's.
Not Hinkle's this year. This year, I'm taking you to Disneyland.
Dad. Really?
I'm taking him to Disneyland.
Don't.
I'm taking him to Disneyland. What's the split of combination plate?
They've got no money whatsoever, this entire family. They have to share meals at a low-down Mexican restaurant. He's making wild plans to take the kid to Disneyland. This is just filled with just charming little moments, and as I said, the acting is outstanding. The whole film, my wife and I went to see a screening, and we just were blown away. We walked out talking about it all night long. So I highly recommend this weekend you check out Sunshine Cleaning. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Movie Beat.
I don't want to eat with any of you people.
Come on.
Our man Bean is a strange little fella. He has gotten much, 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 much less comfortable in public. He doesn't like people. He doesn't like to go around him. He doesn't like to be around us.
Yep. It's true. He avoids us.
He's systematically trying to reduce his number of friends to a minimum, let's say.
But there's one thing that we don't talk about him very much on the air, and that is that he likes radio people. He loves anyone that's in radio. Like, we do those MTV things where there are a bunch of radio stations there, and Bean is
a
social.
Gadfly,
he's
right?
Like, oh, he's bouncing from table to table. Where do you work? It doesn't matter where they work.
What are your call letters?
As long as they're on the air.
Oh, those are good letters. I wish I had those call letters.
So occasionally
frequency, Kenneth?
He probably knows the history of every damn radio station.
Well, he does.
When we go on location, and occasionally we have to go to Miami or something to do an event, he will seek out radio people in that town to discuss their radio stations with them.
Which, of course, is just the opposite of what we're used to, which is that he's trying to, you know, push us out of the scene.
Yeah.
When we go on location, he won't eat with us. We'll all go
That's
out
true.
For dinner
we
or lunch.
We all go together.
We
That's
go
true.
Together as a group. Bean will invariably bow out. I'm not in the mood for a restaurant. I'm going to eat on the vending machine at the hotel.
So that's why it's
any
odd.
Any excuse not to spend a meal with us.
So that's why it's odd to us.
And we're radio people.
Not
we
really.
Work in radio.
Not really.
Not we're not good radio people, but that's our job.
Come on, K-Rock is a little bit below the line. You know that, Ralph.
So about 4 or 5 months ago, Bean started talking about these lunches that he had. Lunches. And we were like, what? Who? Where are you going to lunch? Who
with
are you?
Like with people in some junk.
With people that work
he
at radio
sits
station.
Down at a table with other people.
Yeah, as long as they work for a radio
That's
station.
That's what we found out.
Yes.
It's only other radio people. And it's like a monthly thing, right?
Yes.
But how? But guys, seriously, I know you mock, and because that's what you do, but it's not uncommon for people in the same profession to hang out. I mean, you don't think, Ralph, actors get together with actors to talk about acting stuff? Of course they do.
Yeah, but not exclusively. I mean, I won't only hang out with other actors. I have dinner with all kinds of people all kinds of time.
It's not that you're interested in radio that's surprising. It's that you don't like human interaction in any way, except for when it comes to radio people.
Yes.
Now you're going out to lunch, and you're going out on dates, and you're hanging out, and you're talking and chatting and drinking, I'm sure. All of a sudden,
shooting
you're
up, smoking dope.
Mr. Social.
Opium dens with Bob Rivers.
I do visit my friends at their radio stations at times.
Oh,
that is true.
God.
I do that.
He does, right? So it's not just that he's interested in radio. It's just so weird to hear him talk about visiting anyone, going out with anyone, eating with anyone.
This is the exception that proves the rule. He hates interacts with no one socially except a small pocket of humanity known as people working radio. And not even all people working radio, as I mentioned, because he won't interact with us.
That's correct. We do not make the cut.
Only other radio stations.
It doesn't matter the size either. I mean, it could be a tiny little 1-watt radio station.
I think the smaller the better.
He just geeks out. So we were wondering what these lunches must sound like with Bean and his radio pals.
So we found out the location of one of these lunches he was having last time he was in town here locally.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about here? What's going on?
We had Lightning and our crack staff of surveillance experts go into and bug the table before they sat down for lunch.
That's unfair.
And so we were able to capture with the K-Rock microphones an entire, well, this is just an edited down portion, but this is one of the lunches that Bean has with some local radio people, some local Los Angeles radio people, one of Bean's radio luncheons.
What a pleasure it is to have all my radio friends at lunch.
Jim Rome, why did you pick this restaurant?
I love this restaurant. This restaurant is primo. I'm just looking over this book, menu. So many items, I cannot wrap my dome around them.
I see just. Item number 3. Burrito. Hi, mija, hold this.
Hey, Tito, let me see that wine list. I love wine. I need a job. Come on, for God's sake, somebody give me a job.
Need a job? I'm more than happy to hire you over to the Army Show to tell you about some holes in the business like us.
Don Imus, feeling you, El Maniaco, in Azul, en la Ciudad.
Did you know that all pandas are left-handed?
All right, Jed. Jed the fish eating lunch here at the table with us. Wow, I have a fork. Sometimes I like to use a spoon instead of a fork because the peas sometimes fall off my fork.
What do
don't you say grace, Rush Limbaugh?
My friends, I just want to say thank you, God, for having us all on the radio.
Come on now, that's not funny. I did a job, for God's sake. Unbelievable.
You, you goddamn idiots drive a Japanese car. Gotta represent Chevy Bowtie.
Hey, Petros, pass that pitcher of beer, will you? I'm not eating lunch today, I'm just drinking. It's Cat Corbett.
There's a beer cat.
Money, feeling you. What do you like on the menu, Money?
I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like goddamn communism.
I'm ready to order. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm just going to order some toast.
Sounds good to
toast
me.
Is weak. Why don't you man up, Bean, and order some beef? From now on, Bean, on this lunch, you are blocked. Rome, out.
Wow. So there you go. That's an entertaining meal right there.
Can't blame me for wanting to be with them, right?
Can we come to your next one?
Actually, we're all booked.
There, Alien Ant Farm playing 25 dates at the O2 Arena.
No,
I don't know. London, England.
That's not the original singer of that song. Michael Jackson is doing 50 dates.
50.
Yeah.
Yeah, not Alien Ant Farm so much. It's Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ 855. By the way, looking ahead toward Monday morning's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. How about this? An Oscar winner on the program, Nicolas Cage, is going to be joining us first thing Monday morning.
Wow.
How about that?
New More film of a Monday Knowing. Morning protector.
Also, we'll be announcing KROQ's World Tour number 6 for 2009. So I don't even know what that is yet, but that's probably good. Ralph, one of your all-time favorite guests, is joining us Monday. We've got the brewmaster from Guinness, Fergal Murray.
Oh, he's Fergal.
Be here. I know you love him. And here's someone we've been dying to talk to for a while. Legendary rock drummer Josh Fries is going to be in our studio on Monday.
Yes, he
is. He is the guy who is auctioning off just an amazing series of adventures with him for enough cash. You can he'll actually kill a guy for you, and you'll get away with it if you pay him enough. It's pretty amazing. So all of that plus Harvey Levin from TMZ will be Monday here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now to close out the Friday show with the Showbiz Beat.
Brittany's got a new boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
If you believe E! News... Brittany has been secretly dating her longtime agent, Jason Trawick.
Oh, good.
Now, apparently, this is one dude that Brittany's dad, Jamie, doesn't have a problem with.
But he's her agent.
Yes, exactly, Kevin.
Okay.
Exactly why, apparently, dad is all right with the relationship. Family Insider says Jason is one of the few people who Jamie Spears trusts. Apparently, Trawick is a 37-year-old William Morris agency representative, and he's been Britney's agent for about 5 years.
And by agent you mean
I guess it's lucky that I mean, you knew eventually she was gonna want to have sex, so
right.
She's allowed so few people inside the bubble that one of those was eventually going to be the target, I guess.
And a guy who wants to keep her on the road and sober and successful.
That's true.
You know, who has her best interests at heart more than the guy who makes 10% of her living? I think he would want to keep her bright and shiny.
Yep.
So it's better than Adnan Galib.
True.
Who just wanted to send her, sell her cell phones and rugs. I think that's all he wanted to do. So, so it might be a healthy relationship for Britney afterwards. After all, rather. American Idol's in its 8th season now.
Yeah.
And it's about time somebody published a book detailing the scandal behind the show.
Oh, is there one?
Well, word is that someone is hitting the publishing circuit with just such a book.
Is it called
Very Well Job Done, Baby?
It's called Very Well Job Done, Baby.
I like it.
A former employee of the show claims that he is writing a tell-all book about the inside workings of American Idol. Such claims in the book are that producers play favorites when it comes to the audition process and the final winners. They try to massage the situation to benefit some over others.
I'm not
which
surprised.
Which is no surprise, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. They look at some people and go, well, that person would be great for TV.
And this is my favorite inside info that supposedly is in the book. Paul Abdul totes around a special accessory during the shoot that none of us get to see.
Yes.
Two gallon-sized Ziploc bags full of prescription bottles.
No.
Two of those big old Ziploc baggies filled with bottles.
Wow, subtle, huh?
She must sound like a pair of maracas when she walks down the hallway. That's awesome.
What does this guy do? Do we know? Like,
says he was a former employee of the show. Does not say what position he held inside the organization, but that would be an interesting read, I think.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Paula, all during the edited shows, seems cognizant and just could not be more sober.
And the minute they start doing the live shows, she can't make a goddamn sentence.
Yeah, yeah, what a surprise.
Absolutely. Fascinating to me. You are just, soak it in. Soak it all in, because this is you on the stage. I couldn't take my eyes off you. I didn't even see the stage. What, Paula?
I'm tired of people not treating me like the gift that I am. It's hurtful, and it stinks. And it takes everything out of me to smile and be jovial when I'm being screwed.
You can't be jovial when you're being screwed. When can you be jovial?
You know what also surprises me about Paula? When she had that controversy that kind of went away about that one contestant that apparently she was banging, Ralph.
Right, yes. Right.
Doesn't it still seem like she's kind of auditioning for boy toys during this show? She's like, oh, I just love you so much. I just want to wrap you up and take you home and spend weekends with you.
Yeah. I want to squeeze you. I wanted to put something in your drink and make you sleepy.
It's
all
of
these
things.
In my trunk. I love you so much.
Yeah, she is. She's a little... overtly amorous when it comes
a little,
to the
cougarific,
especially when it comes to the swarthy boys. She likes them skinny and swarthy. That's how she likes them. Skinny and swarthy, by the way, is named my new autobiography. Let's talk about celebrity birthdays, shall you? What?
Yes, we shall.
William H. Macy, one of my favorite actors, is 59 years old today. Remember when we had him in? I forget what the project was for. Maybe it was the cooler.
Was it
we had him in studio.
That My Name Is Bill or whatever that
TV movie he did or something.
He did where
I don't know.
He was
we had him in. It
special.
Could not have been a more charming sort of down to earth regular.
Was
guy.
This last week?
No.
All right, I don't remember that.
Wild. Back.
This was a while back.
The only thing I remember about that interview is that he kind of got mad at us, Ralph. Do you remember why he kind of got angry with us?
I don't remember that.
Because we were making fun of Keanu Reeves' acting.
Oh, that's
and he
right.
He was so offended that we would talk bad about another actor while he was here. That's what a stand-up guy he is. He won't even admit Keanu's a terrible actor.
Right, because we were talking about how great he is and how other people have maybe more high-profile success with less talent. I think we did use Keanu as an example.
He was offended.
And he was cheesed off at you. Particularly.
Well, I think it was Kevin mostly.
I think it was mostly you.
Upset with, but yeah. If I remember.
I don't remember any of this.
then let's make it Kevin then. Dana Delaney is 53 years old today. Adam Clayton of U2 turns 49. Common turns 37 years old today. Danny Masterson from That 70 Show turns 33. And lastly, Emil Hirsch, who was so excellent in Milk this past year. He is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat. Tonight is the Friday night edition of Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. It airs at 12:30 a.m. right after the Jay Leno show on NBC4. And tonight, Tracy Morgan will be stopping by. Jimmy Fallon, you used to be on Saturday Night Live! It's going to be an awesome show. Also, animal lover and expert Jared Miller will be stopping by. Last night, Jimmy had on Brian Williams. And I don't know if you think of him as a funny guy. He's the NBC... evening news anchor, but he was hilarious last night, and I'm sure Jimmy is going to have fun with Tracy Morgan tonight as well. So check it out, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon on NBC4.
Now, can we do this thing or do we not do this thing? I'm still confused about this whole
no,
thing.
No, you hit the button. You go ahead and hit the button.
I do.
Because the show is over and it's time to sing. That's how we rehearsed it last weekend.
Yeah, I didn't remember.
So we'll get it down. We got lots and lots of time to get it down just right.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hello.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know, the Germans always make good stuff.
Roll another one.
Let's go grab some of that meat.
Just like the other one.
Hey, do this.
This one seems to be about to quit.
We gotta get the black ass. Well said.
Pat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. By the way, yes. It was so much fun. So much fun at my radio lunch.
Oh, it was a great time, Dean. Thanks for picking up the tab.
Ramones, Raconteurs, Rise Against, and other bands that start with
roll,
that.
Roll,
another one.
Yes, I'll give her a plug.
Just like the other one.
I'm Cat Corbett.
Yeah, I don't know what, but I just got an erection.
This one seems to be
out. There is a new way to get a facial.
I don't have another cent.
I love it.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Stick around for my show. It's coming up next.
Let's pass it around.
I love big, fat, juicy pickles.
Christmas, everyone. This is Del Toe.
Pass it on.
deserve this. I don't deserve this.
Cut. Print. Gay.
We're gonna stop it. Better we stop it. It's our decision. It's a decision that we have to take. There's no reason to continue with this. Are you okay with that? You agree? Yes. Is that it? Yeah? That's it? Let's finish it. That's it. Let's go.
So, say peace.
Peace.
Love.
Love.
And soul.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I missed the cable smackdown of the century last night, apparently, on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Was it awesome?
I love Jon Stewart. It's the only news program that entertains me.
Yes.
Him and the dude that follows him, Colbert.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was talking about CNBC because apparently there was a host. Well, he describes what got him into this battle with CNBC.
In a piece, which was done in response to CNBC's Rick Santelli, who had referred to over-leveraged mortgage homeowners as losers and question their judgment, we ran a series of clips of CNBC personalities that demonstrated judgment that could also be construed as poor or wrong or the opposite of what you should have said.
So he's mocking them because they're calling people who got into this problem losers.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people, Jon Stewart included, a lot of people have said, hey, CNBC, you're supposed to be have your finger on the pulse of what's going on with the financial world. How about a little heads up when a depression is coming? How about somebody on that channel tipping us off that bad things were happening?
Apparently, he's the host of a show about money.
This is Jim Cramer now. The guy that responds is Jim Cramer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anything about Jim Cramer except for the clips that I've seen on Stewart.
Yep.
He is crazy.
He yells a lot. Yeah.
He does.
He yells a lot. He carries baseball bats around. He's got sound effects.
Yeah.
I don't even understand how this guy's on CNBC. But he's the guy who takes offense. Jon Stewart was playing a lot of clips, only this dude got upset.
That is very, very angry. Now, Mr. Cramer took exception to our characterization of CNBC, and while not defending the network, did feel that he himself had been unfairly maligned. So last night, I, of course, made my counter-argument. You! So I think to myself, controversy over!
That should shut him up.
So Jon Stewart goes on Comedy Central and says, F you. And then he thinks it's over, but then he starts seeing this dude, Jim Cramer, like going on other networks and talking about Jon Stewart and talking
really?
Slack.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart and you were having a little war on words.
A comedian's attacking me. Wow.
He runs
a variety show.
You don't have to make comedians sound like a venereal disease. You make it sound like I'm some kind of buffoon. Just flapping my arms with crazy buttons and wacky sound effects.
Now, I didn't know this because I don't know Jim Cramer, but that's exactly what he does.
Yes.
That's exactly what he
does. Swing his arms, sound effects.
They've got a recurring bit they do on Saturday Night Live where they make fun of Jim Cramer because you swear to God this guy's on cable access. He's so crazy. Like, how can we take this guy seriously? He's a clown.
So Stewart puts up some clips of Jim Cramer doing that.
It's like a Three Stooges show.
Right, that's on CNBC where they talk about money.
Right.
So Stewart's trying to figure out what's going on, and then he realizes what the problem is.
Maybe Jon Stewart can tell us now what the markets are going to do over the next 5 to 10 years.
But I don't know. That's why I don't make the claim to any authority. That's why my network doesn't have the slogan, "In Stewart We Trust." They don't want people to think I'm God.
So apparently on CNBC, they say "In Cramer We Trust."
Oh, really?
And then John would show a couple of clips where he would go, "This stock is going to be great." And then it just tanks.
Yes, that has happened very publicly.
Right.
Like so he was so wrong.
So Jon Stewart starts playing clips of that, and that makes Jim Cramer even more angry as the week goes on.
He goes on NBC. He goes on MSNBC. NBCSI. NBCSI Miami. NBCBGB's their downtown music club. Well, guess what? You're not the only member of a multi-platformed media conglomerate with huge synergistic reach and strategic levering capabilities. Yeah, you heard right. Viacom and the motherfucking
God bless Jon Stewart.
So Jon Stewart decides that he's going to use Viacom to his advantage, and he goes on a little show called Dora the Explorer.
Oh, okay.
So I went on a little MTV network rehabilitation tour of my own, bitch.
Hi, John.
Hey, Dora. Thanks so much for having me on. Hey, Boots.
Let's be friends.
Sure.
Doesn't Jim Cramer understand it's not about individual mistakes he's made? It's about him creating a false sense of urgency that helped hyperinflate the bubble.
I mean, that was kind of the point.
You want me to throw feces on him?
No.
Okay, so he goes on Dora the Explorer, but that is not done. Stuart then goes on the hills.
Oh, good.
Which is fantastic.
Big ones.
He is. He's really hitting them back.
You know, the last two nights, I have slept a total of 6 hours, about.
Yeah. I'm super tired, too.
You're a full-time worker.
I know, but my job's hard. I have to make jokes and faces every day. Well, not every day, like 4 days a week. Not the whole day, like 22 minutes a day. But still, yeah.
So then Jim Cramer finally goes on Jon Stewart's show last night.
Awesome.
Yeah. How could he not? He's got to defend himself at this point, right?
He has to. And what's funny is Jon Stewart's stuck to his guns the whole time. It's not about individual mistakes. It's you're setting yourself up to be God and people have to trust you because you know what you're talking about. And then you make mistakes and lead them astray. And then this happens.
Maybe we could remove the financial expert and the Ian Cramer we trust and start getting back to fundamentals on the reporting as well, and I can go back to making fart noises and funny faces.
I think we make that deal right here.
There you go.
Matt Money is on CNBC Weeknights at 6.
There you go. This interview, by the way, they ended up having to cut out 8 minutes that wasn't broadcast last night. So if you want to see the whole thing, the smackdown between Jon Stewart and Jim Cramer, apparently it's very funny. You can see it all at thedailyshow.com. That is good stuff. The band is called Cage the Elephant, in case you're wondering, and the new album from them is going to be coming out in May. That's called Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. It's Friday afternoon, don't you know? Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, dude?
I'm not down with that, by the way, caging elephants.
Now, that's just the name of the band.
Peter and I are on the same page with this one. We do not believe they should be caged.
That's not literal.
Nope. No caging the elephants.
I agree.
Let the elephants run free.
Yes.
That's not
let
literal.
Let them trample and paint. But that do the things elephants do.
They do paint, yes.
Yes, they love to paint.
They do.
That's what I'm about.
Painting?
Hey, remember when we were kidding this morning about Michael Jackson and his 50 concert?
Don't you dare
tour
update that again.
What? That he was doing in London? He started with 10 concerts. He said, this is it. Remember, this is it.
This is it.
This is it.
And when I say this is it, I mean this is it.
This is the final. This is it.
He made it very clear that if you don't see him in those 10 dates, you'll never see him in London again.
Because this is it.
Right.
Because
that's it, right.
Right.
So then he added another 40 concerts. He's doing 50 concerts between July of this year and February of next year.
Okay.
Well, this handed to me this afternoon. Sold out.
All 50
concerts have sold out.
Is it possible that it's scalpers, that they think there will be a market?
Oh,
so they,
dude, that's a lot of scalping if that's the case.
I don't even know how you, what kind of market is there for scalping if there's a million tickets for sale?
That's true.
It would be at 20,000 seats per show, 50 shows, that would be a million tickets.
Wow.
Sold out in about 5 hours from when they went on sale this morning.
Wow.
Sold out.
Unbelievable.
Lisa made an excellent point this morning when she said how smart Michael Jackson is to hold this in Europe, where he still has fans.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it's from all over Europe that those ticket sales
happened. Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of tickets went on sale to registered fans earlier in the week, so via his website, I'm assuming. He had some special kind of pre-sale.
Right.
But ahead of that, people were camping out overnight outside the O2 Arena box office to ensure that they got their tickets for the show.
Do they think he's going to show up and sing?
That's what the rumor is, Kevin.
Huh.
Won't he collapse long before he's done 50 shows?
Billy Jean.
Lights out. Over there on Dancing with the Stars.
Wait, let me just ask a follow-up. So, okay. More than 50? Is he going to add to that number?
So, he sold out 50. I am saying he has sold out 50.
Wow. Did he say this is it
He
again?
Did not say this is it.
All right.
Maybe this isn't it.
See?
All right. He won't be caught in that trap again. Over on Dancing with the Stars, things are looking dangerous. Steve-O apparently is hurt. Physical therapist has told me my nerves are being pinched in my back.
Mm.
That seems bad.
And is in spasms because of inflammation related to torn muscles.
Wow. That seems bad.
I don't want to hear any wows or ums from Lisa, who's contractually
right.
obligated to not discuss Dancing with the Stars.
You're being paid not to talk about this.
I paid Lisa May to not talk about Dancing with the Stars, and I expect that to be honored, or I want my money back.
I was just giving those comments.
You can't know. Not
Ralph.
Talking about means not commenting.
Okay. Fine. Go on with your stupid story.
Meanwhile, more Dancing with the Stars news.
I didn't pay Ralph.
People on the set are saying Denise Richards has become the least liked contestant in all 8 seasons of the show.
That is not a surprise.
And I know why, but I'm not going to tell you.
No, you're not.
That counts
as talking about it.
Give me $1 right now.
Okay. I'll give you $1.
Or you can work it out in trade.
Yeah. You can get much for $1.
What's $1 worth of trade?
I look at you, sexy.
All right.
What?
What the hell is wrong with you? He's not trying to get him to stop from fighting with other dogs.
For a buck?
Wow. An anonymous staffer on the set told the Chicago Sun-Times this week that Denise, according to everyone who works on the show, is insecure and demanding and is a canker sore of a woman who complains about everything.
Wow.
She's demanding. I think she's smarter than the rest of us. It's really irritating, they say. Lisa, I know why. I know why I don't like her. I do, too. Because she's a...
You can't...
Whoa!
Listen, you can't use that language.
All right. Ben.
You're trying to think of another word you could say.
I was.
Not as entertaining, though.
It's the perfect word.
It is.
I got no substitute.
Yeah.
Except no substitute. That's what I said.
You do see her picture in the dictionary next to that word, so there's nothing better.
Let's say she takes the tree out of country. That's all.
Okay.
All right. Today's celebrity birthday is Emil Hirsch, very talented actor. He is 24 years old today. Danny Masterson from That 70s Show turns 33. Common is anything but, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Woo!
He's 37. Adam Clayton from U2 turns 49. Dana Delaney is 43 years old today. And one of my favorite actors ever, William H. Macy, turns 59. And some people know he's married to the lovely Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives. She is not having a birthday today.
Strange way to end the birthday segment, but okay.
It's all related.
Are we going to name everyone who's not having a birthday today or just her?
I am. 3 cocktails in.
It is Friday.
Do a post-happy hour show. That's the kind of talent level you deserve. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.